Okay. All right. Number three on the agenda, recognize visitors. Does anybody have any topics to discuss? No?
Well,
we want to go ahead and start with John Blessing. And,
sure.
Okay. We're going to.
I thought I was far down the agenda.
So well, we like to move you up and get you out of here.
No
so
problem.
You're under new business. So, yeah, we'll go ahead and bump you up. So, John Blessing is with Waste Management. I think you guys got an email from Kathy about this presentation.
Well, thank you.
Welcome.
Again, John Blessing. I'm with Waste Management, the account manager for all of our municipal customers, which includes the city of Lake Elvira. So I came to, I'm not trying to take up too much of your time, came to discuss recycling. It's kind of an old hat in the news in the industry over the past couple of years, but really there's two major issues I'd like to discuss, again, trying to make this as quick as possible. If you have any questions, please let me know. One is the issue with recycling, and eventually I'll have a choice or a decision that I'm going to need direction from the council. Before we start, I just want to let you know I don't need that today. If you want to, you're more than welcome to. My goal is to give you as much information as possible. There's been some new faces and some changes to the council since last week we discussed this topic. Give you some information, and then I would like to come back in next month's council meeting for a decision. But again, if that's something that you want to decide today, no problem. Pertaining to recycling, there's two major things that are impacting the service that you receive. One, and they're interconnected, but one is contamination, right? So that's pretty self-explanatory. Trash in the recycling. Recycling's always been contaminated. This is nothing new. A couple years ago, the standard for contamination in recycling was about 15%, so you had to have about 85% clean, right? Today's standard is 0.5, and that's not something we control. Those are the end market users that eventually buy the recycling materials to make new stuff, right? So it went from 85% clean to about a standard of 99.5% clean. So again, we've always been decontaminating the recycling that we collect. Just today, we have to do that to a greater extent. The second part of that equation is the cost, the commodity value that we get from the recycling material once we decontaminate it all and give it to an end user. In the past, they used to pay for that material. Some material is still being paid for today at about half or a third of the commodity value. Some materials, no one's buying them, and we actually have to pay to get rid of them. Now, how that comes into play to contamination is, like I said, we've always been decontaminating the recycling that we collect. Right? Nobody's recycling is perfectly clean. But the commodity values that we would get from selling that material would pay for the labor required to decontaminate the recycling, right? If you can imagine, there's a couple of you that went on the tour that we went, and although there's lots of fancy machines, there's also a lot of people, right? So to get to 0.5 instead of 15% clean recycling, it takes more people, right? There's some technology that we've been able to introduce, which also has a cost to it. But really, the labor costs have skyrocketed, and the money that we used to get that paid for those costs has evaporated because the recycling commodity values are extremely low. So I sent an email over. If you got it, I know I sent it on Friday, so I hope it got distributed. I have some copies of that. I also have some copies of a calculation that we did on those costs in, gosh, what was it, late 2018 or early 19. I came before the council at that time and kind of gave this same presentation and asked for an increase to the recycling cost to help offset those costs that have skyrocketed that we can't pay for anymore on the commodity values, right? Because those commodity values have evaporated. So really my presentation here today is much the same. I wanted to make sure that everyone got that information. I actually have a calculation that I'd like to pass out based on the costs. And really, the conversation that I wanted to start that we can continue next month to give you a chance to digest this information, and I will make myself available over the next few weeks if anyone wants to have an in-depth conversation on this, any particular part of it, I'm happy to do so. The choice or the decision that eventually I would need from the council is really two options. One, the second now request for an increase to recycling, again, to cover the cost to decontaminate the recycling that we collect from the city of Lake Rivera. Side note, had a great time. Those of you that came, we audited the stuff. We went and toured the facility. And our area average for the Kansas City market is 25% contamination. We used to get by with 15, so we only had to take out about 10%. Now we have to get down to 0.5, so there's a lot more that we have to get out. Lake Rivera actually came in ahead of the game at 21.1% of contamination. So, hey, that's better than the national average. Still a far cry from the 0.5 that we need to get to, but that was pretty impressive. So based on those results, talking only about the material that we collect from Lake Rivera, we calculated that information. Sorry, I didn't get this out in time to be included in the email. That details exactly what that cost impact would look like.
Well, look at that. I have to move this one.
And I can go through this. It's broken down into a few different spots. Really, the first section is just how many tons of recycling on average we collect per year divided by the number of residents that are in Lake Rivera, and it breaks down to how many tons per household and that kind of good stuff. The material value or stream value, that is that portion where we talked about what the material is worth. So once it's all decontaminated and it's bundled and it's sold to somebody like an auto dealer who makes new bumpers out of it and that kind of stuff, you can kind of see the price that we were getting on average prior and the price that we're getting today. And that's a blended value. So you can see it's about half of what it was. Again, that comes into play when you talk about how we used to be able to pay to decontaminate based on the revenue we got from the materials, which you can see that has eroded. The processing cost is actually one penny positive because the MRF that you toured is one of the leading MRFs in the nation, and they're actually constantly making improvements on that to try to just do it better and faster and cheaper. So one penny isn't much, but it's a lot when you consider that. The residue cost disposal, only 2 cents there. What that is once we have a large pile of trash that we've taken out of your recycling, we then have to pay to go dump it into the landfill, right? So at 2 cents, that's not that big of a deal. The fixed cost is probably the second highest, and that and the material stream value are really the two big ones. The fixed cost is the labor. So it takes more people to decontaminate your recycling than it did in the past, because we used to get away with 15%. Now we have to get it down to 0.5%. So again, that's some information for you to digest. I'm happy to discuss it in depth, any part. You might stump me. I don't work for the MRF, for the recycling facility, but I can certainly get information on any of these parts if you have questions. This was very similar to the proposal that we provided. Again, I think it was end of 18, beginning of 19, and the council at that time decided not to take any action, which was fine. At this point, there's an either or, right? We can share the cost to decontaminate that 21.1% of recycling that we're collecting from your residents. The other option of that would be is to begin like a curb audit, where our driver opens the container, looks in the container, and if he sees anything that's not recyclable, we tag it and we leave it, right? So those are really the two options that we have at this point. Very honest with you, we don't like that second option, just because you can imagine the two things when it comes to a driver and our routes: liability and time. Every time that driver gets out of the truck, he's liable for an accident. And you can imagine, for those of you that went on that audit, who knows what's in that recycling? Like, we saw needles and all kinds of crazy stuff. We don't want our driver necessarily digging deep. The second one is efficiency. Not a very large city. We're in and out of here in a few hours. It's going to be an all-day process if our guy has to stop and open the container and kind of look through some of that stuff. But really, those were the kind of the options we're stuck with at this point, unless the industry miraculously changes in the next couple of years, which we have seen it level out, but we haven't seen it really kind of arrow up, so to speak.
But if you do the curb on it, I mean, that's a lot more expensive for you.
Not necessarily. When it comes to time, yes. When it comes to time, it could be.
But the cost for the city on option number two would stay the same.
Correct. Yeah. There were in lieu of an increase to sort at our facility, we would end up just kind of sorting at the curb. Now, when I say sorting, we're not dumping stuff out. We're not going through things, right? The driver would open the cart, fish around in it to his satisfaction, and if there's any contamination, we would tag it and leave it.
Are you doing that anywhere else in any other cities?
At this point, no. Of my 28 municipalities, all have opted for an increase for sorting, except for two. Lickbear is one of them. So we're having this exact same conversation with another municipality on a street audit.
Yeah.
So that's an option. It doesn't seem like a favorable one. But
are you in a position to say what that other municipality is?
I'd rather not. I won't tell them about you.
Fair enough. But. And am I remembering, doesn't our contract, it goes for like through 2021 or two?
End of 21.
End of 21.
End of 21. Correct. So again, I know it's a lot to
take in. I mean, obviously in less than 24 months, this is going to be baked into the new contract.
Correct.
We're looking at, go ahead, John.
Oh, no, that was all I had.
And just to do the math, we're looking at $1.43 per home, $563 a month, $6,700 a year.
Correct. And we have, I had a conversation before we did our audit. I had a conversation with Gail about it, and our plan in the Kansas City metropolitan area is we are auditing every single municipal contracts waste and kind of, recycling and kind of going through all this. And we're planning on doing this annually or every 2 years. So that being said, and I know you only have really one more year after this year on your contract, but we're setting an internal kind of customer goal of 10%. So we have already had conversations with other customers who have supported the increase and said, well, I want to audit it next year, and if we're under 10%, we're taking that off, and we're okay with that. Because if we can get it to 10, we can get it to 0.5, right? But when it's coming in on average of the area about 25%, that's where our costs just increase to get it to that 0.5.
Do you have any that are at 10 or 15?
No. No, but they've got ambitions to get there, which, as we've kind of done already, you know, some of those education campaigns and mailers and, you know, you do your best, but the fact of the matter is, you know, is every household running their peanut butter jar through the dishwasher to get it clean? And you know, it's just not the way it works, but some might, right?
Yeah.
Some might.
Yeah. Well, I think whenever we get information like this, which we did on Friday, we were kind of hoping to have that with it.
Sure.
So I think with the cost, what did you say, $6,700 a year?
Yeah.
We've got some road projects coming up.
Sure.
Watershed projects, stuff like that. I think we need to discuss and maybe reach out to the community a little bit. And
of course.
Talk to our treasurer and see if that's something we can handle, and then decide what's best for Lake Quivira.
Absolutely.
Those are my thoughts. I'd rather wait and discuss it.
And that's kind of what I thought.
Yeah. Like
some new faces and this kind of being a new topic, you know, resurging itself. I wanted to make sure you have that information. Make sure you have my contact information. I know Gail does. Again, if anyone wants to reach out and have a conversation, heck, I'll buy lunch.
Curiosity, what are the materials you said that don't have a value to actually pay to take them away?
A lot of it's plastics today. Plastics just don't have a lot of value. And then, of course, when you say plastics, you know, there's like numbers 1 through 7, the 3s and the 5s. Nobody wants them. You have to actually pay to have those taken away. Right now, you can pay to have them taken away cheaper than we can pay to have them thrown in the landfill. So we're still doing that. But I guess there's always the possibility that we could collect recycling, and then if nobody wants that recycling material and it's too expensive to pay someone to take it, if it's cheaper to put it in the landfill, and that's where that goes. But right now, it's not at that point. And I think
like aluminum paper, that's the...
So our two big ones, right, our two most profitable commodities are cardboard. I think that's number one. And then metal, mostly aluminum, but steel. Yeah.
What about just not having recycling? I mean, it's just from a cost perspective only. I'm philosophically against that, but
yeah.
just, you know,
no, you're absolutely
we're looking
right.
at, you know, 70 some percent content, you know, usable versus 20 some
right.
percent non usable. Why not just throw everything in the trash?
Right. That's an option. I mean, that is certainly an option if the city chooses to do that. I do want to caution, we had one municipality do that, and then they ended up increasing their trash service. Because if you think everybody's household, you're limited to your cart for trash. You've got that cart full of recycling. If you take that service away, the material is going to go into your trash container, and you're going to have more trash. Now, some communities, like I think, like Wavira does, where you've got recycling locations, you can the residents can take the recycling to it, you know, and dump it.
That's a whole other topic.
<Yeah. laughs> So
we're looking at 44.84 pounds a month. House.
Right.
So
we had one municipality up in our San Gio district who decided to go to an every other week collection of recycling and reduced. They still supported an increase, but that reduced the requested calculation order by about half because right? they said, well, we'll go every other week. Their residents said, hey, you know, my recycling container's never full, so we could probably go every other week. So there's are a couple of other options.
Has that been working out for them?
It has.
Yeah.
It has. Yeah. It really has. They had a 65-gallon recycling container, and we gave them 96-gallon containers and then started collecting every other week. So we get less contamination and less material, but then we were also able to recognize some savings because we took the savings of that guy and the truck driving every week, and then we put that back into the processing costs.
So would that be an option for us?
Of course.
Larger
Absolutely.
Containers every other week?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Most certainly.
And you said they were 96
Correct.
Gallons?
96 gallon opposed to the 65. That gives us a little extra capacity for those two. And you don't have to have 96 gallon.
No.
We could probably do something if that's the way the city wanted to go. If people were happy with their 65 and they think, hey,
right.
I can do that, then they could just keep that. But if somebody says, no, I fill mine up every week, we'd be
yeah.
able to give them a larger one.
How big is that big one?
So the 65 and the 95 have the same footprint.
Oh.
Right. So if you draw a line around them, they're the same size. One's taller, and it gets a little wider as it comes out. So the dimensions up top are a little bigger if you have it.
What size are the trash ones?
65 gallon.
That's what we have. Okay.
65, and then the larger is the 95. But it's the same footprint. It's taller, and it's a little wider, girthier, kind of as it cones upward. But it's, you know, that's exactly the same. Wheels. Handle, lid, all.
And so there wouldn't be an extra charge to come in, you know, if, say, 300 residents decide they want to go to the 96-gallon. There's no charge to come and replace those?
No. We'd want to do it systematically. You know, I'd like
yeah.
to have it. I don't want to come out and do 300
yeah.
all, you know, every other day. But if we did, got made a list and said, hey, next month we're just going to do it all at one swap, that wouldn't be.
Yeah. yeah.
And I don't remember that being an option. The last time we all talked.
It really
about
wasn't.
This.
Right. It really wasn't. It's as this evolves, we're just trying to find new ways to make it work for, you know, the residents and us and ultimately the end processor who takes all the recycling.
I think Leanna, you were at the recycling cleanup thing, right? She's got a question back there.
Yeah. I assume that waste management supplies the big commingled bin we have now.
I believe so, yes.
Do they have, it seems like when I've driven to the Deffenbaugh Recycle where you can leave things off.
The landfill?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
There are more options, and none of them have the big lids where you can just heap your trash in if that's what you're inclined to do. And I'm wondering if that might be an option here, that something with smaller openings and maybe some more pre-sorting. If you see there's no place for your lawnmower and for your kids' plastic toys, maybe that would be a big hint. And the clubhouse is doing a much better job now breaking down their paper. And I know some of the recycling bins have, you know, slats
yes.
rather
yes.
than just a dump.
Right. So we are actually, that's great, we're actually doing a pilot program with the city of Overland Park for some multifamily recycling, and they are only doing cardboard. So they want to put out cardboard-only containers with those slots that force you to break your box down. Mm-hmm. If you're determined, you can get something in it. It should be good. I mean, throw it next to it. But, yeah, who wants to do that? So, I mean, if there's options for the city of Lake Wabira, if you want to change the large receptacles that you have to, it sounds like, are you getting contamination in them? Is that?
Oh, yeah.
So right now it's an 8-yard, I think, and it just has the lids that
it
just flop right up.
It has two lids that flop up, and so, then two hiding holes on the side.
Yes, yeah. Okay. So they have some containers where you take those black lids that flip up, and you replace them with ones that have slots,
uh-huh.
And then you lock those lids down.
I like that.
And then that way you can only really put cardboard broken down or loose recyclables, right? So you don't throw mm-hmm. the whole plastic bag and stuff in there, which mm-hmm. we know plastic bags are bad, right? We mm-hmm. saw that on the tour. That would force people to open up their stuff and put it in kind of
yeah.
a little bit. But that's definitely an option. We've had a lot of communities that wanted to swap those lids out and lock them down because of the contamination.
Sure.
I don't remember how big the slots are on the side.
Oh, they're probably 18 inches by 18 okay. or something like that.
But yeah, we can certainly make changes to that if that's something that slightly unrelated,
yeah.
but if that's a change that you guys want to make as well.
Yeah, Leanna, this was more about the your recycling bin at your home. But that's a great
yeah.
great
yeah.
topic
so
to talk about.
So you covering in those statistics you gave our big commingled box
no.
at the dump?
No.
Oh, okay.
Just because the pounds that we get out of it are so much smaller based on what we get every week from the community.
What are in that? I didn't know pizza boxes weren't recyclable. I'm a big offender on that. Poor kids, we have a lot of pizza boxes. What are from an education standpoint in the community, what are kind of the big, if there were three things a community could do different to get from 80% to 90%?
Sure. The number one, those of you on the tour, the number one contamination is plastic bags. Plastic bags is it because it's so innocent too. Because I have watched communities and residents hand wash every single recyclable item they have, and it's common sense. They store it in a plastic bag in their garage, then they take it to the dump site that is in their community, and then they throw the whole plastic bag in there with the stuff. And everything inside that bag is fantastic, but it's in a plastic bag, which is not recyclable. And
what happens there? Do you rip open the plastic bag, or does it all?
Unfortunately, those that were on the tour saw those plastic bags are zipping by so fast. The only thing you can do is kick them off, and the whole thing goes to the trash. Because to stop, open those things up. One, you don't know what's in it, right? So if somebody opens that up and squirrels in it, or needles, or whatever, that there's some liability there. And unfortunately, they have to keep that line moving. There's a mountain of recyclables at that place, and it's constantly going. So there's really not a lot of time to stop once it gets there and open those plastic bags up. The plastic bags themselves, it's like trying to mow over rubber bands, right? Once those get in the machinery, it just rubber bands everything up and then the machinery starts breaking down. So that's the number one. The second item would be other tanglers. Believe it or not, hoses, electrical cords, rope. I mean, people think like, oh, there's rubber in my hose. It's recyclable. But imagine that going through some machinery, right? It's just going to get tangled up. So really, plastic bags are the big one. There's a saying that we like to pass around. When in doubt, throw it out. Right? Because it's almost better for you to toss something and then go research it rather than kind of wishful recycle it and hope it's right. Right.
Well, I would assume, too, that everybody's, or not everybody, but, you have the drawer in the kitchen that has the trash and the recycling, but
right.
You line it with a plastic bag.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I open mine up, but I would think that's probably a big chunk of that 10% differential.
Yeah. I'd be happy to share it, too. I don't have it with me in that email. It broke down some of the things in there, and, like, it just said contamination was lumped all together. I think when we did the audit, we actually separated out what made up all that contamination. The largest one was, I think, plastic bags. But then there were some other materials. Believe it or not, there was glass. I mean, we found a lot of glass in the recycling people. You just think, oh, glass is recyclable with Ripple, but they put it in there. I'd be happy to provide that as well. I can provide that information. It wasn't too extensive. The big one was plastic bags.
Yeah, the plastics with the numbers on there, that's what gets me, because I think most people think, oh, it's plastic. Toss it in.
Right.
They don't
right.
look at number 3, 4, 6, 7.
And truly, we've had this question a lot of times, and I went right to my recycling managers and said, you know, what do we do about this? And they said, don't change it. 1 through 7, recycle 1 through 7. Because this month, 3s and 5s are bad, but in 6 months they might be fine. And you don't want to have to go back to your customer base and say, change it again. No one's going to remember any of that. So actually what we do over at our facility over there is we've got bales and bales and bales of 3 and 5 that we're just sitting on, hoping that in a few months the price will get better, right? So there's a little bit of that that goes on. So trying to change the 1 through 7s on plastics is more work than it's worth, unless something changes dramatically where it is, the industry says, from now on, we're getting rid of 5s, and then we'll probably make that change. But right now, that's a tricky one. Plastics are such a bad rap.
So, John, since we're talking that, and Dave and I have met together to have all the signage, potential signs.
Yeah.
So these items right here, just the highlighted ones, are those the good ones? Or would you add these?
There's only one word I would add to that last bullet point, and that's clean food and beverage containers. But, yes, absolutely. I think you've got your list correct. Because food and beverage containers are the ones that you don't get all that jelly out of there, that peanut butter out there, and then it sits in the sun for 2 weeks. And there's no hiding that contamination.
Okay.
But yeah, I think your list looks really good.
Food waste, plastic bags, foam cups, and cans.
Well, John, thanks. I think we do need to talk about it, think about it.
Certainly.
Give us a month, and
of course
we can have you back at the next meeting. I do like the idea about the cardboard dumpster, whether it's the slats or whatever you recommend. Gail, would you mind getting with John and just seeing what the best option for that area would be?
Now, were you looking to, I think you have the commingled container today.
Yeah, but it was supposed to start, my understanding was in the beginning, this was, I think Betsy had told me that was going to be the, that was for like cardboard.
Okay.
But it was
always commingled.
Oh, okay. Well, that's what.
Well,
I was
is your intent to have it cardboard only?
Well, it's could be whatever. I mean, I don't know. It sounds like cardboard, but you're treating this though as trash, aren't you? Now, are you charging us as trash, or are you actually charging it as recycled? Because I think didn't you ask him that question? Or I thought we directed something to him as far as what we were being charged, whether the amount that we were being charged for that bin was the recycle rate or just like a bin of trash.
Oh, I don't remember that.
I would have to say that it's the recycle rate. Now, if you're getting contamination charges.
They are not.
Okay.
No, it's more of a, it gets filled up. Very quickly, people aren't smashing their boxes.
Right.
There is some stuff in there that does not belong in there. It's been an ongoing issue for 3 months now. So.
Well, I would recommend cardboard only if you want to see how that goes. You can put those slots on it. We can give you some signage to put on it that says cardboard only. Now, if they put other recyclables in the cardboard, it's not so bad because although it's not cardboard, at least it's recyclables, right? It's trash gets to be a problem. It's the number one material in abundance today because everybody lives on the Amazon world, right? Everything comes in cardboard. So that might limit a lot of your volumes if you have a cardboard-only container out there that people can take their cardboard to and then kind of keep their cart for some of that other material. That would be a good idea.
You have to think about all that because basically we were going to try the signage.
Right. I love the idea of all the cardboard,
sure.
But we've made these signs. And
if people are still abusing
this,
maybe
give this effort a chance.
The next
and,
step and we get the little
right.
slap. That's what we do in Hilton Head. We have, everybody has
right.
the bins with, you can't do it wrong.
Right. Yeah. It forces you to break them down.
I like that idea.
We're sitting next to it.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about that? Leave the one that's mingled and put the slats on and see how it works for a little while?
Excellent. Yeah, we can talk about that and do that.
Okay.
I will leave you with that material. And again, if there's ideas or questions that come up between now and next month, reach out to me. I'm happy to answer any questions or hash out any kind of information that you'd like.
Appreciate it. Since we got you here,
uh-oh.
We got to ask about the
sure.
the smell.
Okay.
I hear there might be some good news maybe coming later this year.
Well, I hear, and I don't, I mean, Mike, you guys know Mike Hay?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so he's everything about the landfill.
Yeah.
I have heard that they're moving cells.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. I don't know exactly when.
Okay.
But that would benefit you guys because it's going to be that way. It's on
yeah.
the far side.
Yeah,
right?
Further west, yeah.
And I'll tell you, we get these little intercompany emails that brag on ourselves all the time, and we saw one end of last year that talked about improvements to the gas harvest. So we harvest
mm-hmm.
natural gas out of there, and then we run our trucks on natural gas, right? So that also takes, I mean, when you're sucking air out of the landfill, it keeps it from going out, right? So it's kind of, it has a remedial positive impact on the odor as well. And they just made some improvements to that at the end of last year. And I don't know if that's
yeah. Good.
Know, noticeable or not, but.
And then I have, oh, are you done with that?
I'm done, go
okay,
for it.
Then I had, you know, the resident who has filed a claim because the truck keeps.
Right, yes, we talked about that one,
Yes, okay, so we have a resident that lives on Terrace Trail West. I mean, it's, you know, it's fairly narrow and stuff. They put the trash, it's a circle driveway, and the trash is, you know, down the road, and then the trash truck comes up the hill, but it keeps coming closer and closer and on to the property, and he never catches the truck, but he did this time with, and it had the big rut and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he got the report.
Oh, so is it
he's
good,
like,
bad?
He's on this. Okay. I mean, oh, my God. And he's, let's see, let me get to it. He received a response from the person who represents waste on these claims.
Oh, the insurance company?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, do you know a Tenise?
No. That,
okay, must be the insurance company. And then he says, in an interesting twist, she seems to be saying that the entity that contracts with waste management, should be us, has the responsibility to maintain the roadway that will support the weight of the trucks. In this case, where the asphalt is collapsing under the weight of the trucks, they would argue that it's not their responsibility. And so, and I mean, but clearly, this thing, I mean, you saw.
I saw the picture, right? You said, yeah.
Yeah, the big. Huge,
right.
Right. And, I mean, it could have almost knocked over their you know, their mailbox.
Sure.
So close. And so, just like, doesn't feel right.
And I don't have
so,
a lot
I mean,
to do
is
with
this
it, but where is that today? Where is that? Are they still ongoing, or is that like
yeah,
something?
I mean, basically, it sounds like it's saying...
it is ongoing, yeah. I got a call last week.
Oh, you did? Well,
They're literally driving off the road to hit this.
Well, I know. I've been in contact
yeah.
with him several times just
yeah.
2 days ago from his... From where he is.
A week ago he called.
Yeah, no, yeah, I know. I've talked to him three times
yeah.
since then.
Can we put a big rock there?
If you want.
But the road, I mean, it's hit so many times. It's gone
right.
so many times, and it's going up the hill. And, you know, nobody, he's complained, and nobody will do anything because he doesn't ever get a picture of them.
Sure. Well, I'd be curious, what is the solution, I guess? I don't even know.
Well, he feels for his own property. He feels it's wrong what's happened to his property, and it, consequently his driveway, you know, the circle driveway,
mm-hmm.
so the top part of the driveway is collapsing,
mm-hmm.
and it's because of the truck that continues
sure.
to do this. And
I don't know what to tell you. If you wanted to email me something, I'd be happy to see what I can put in prop.
What the standard is, if they come and look at it and they deem, well, it really didn't drive through your grass.
Well, it's like any other insurance
But then that
entity,
would mean that it's the city's responsibility.
They would send a claims adjuster.
Pay for this.
Sure.
Yeah, as far as my understanding is, it's like any insurance claim where they're going to send an adjuster out and then make a determination
mm-hmm.
of, is it our fault? Is it every truck that drives around the street? You know, I don't know. Is it apparently... poor road condition, I mean, whatever it was that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy to see what I can investigate internally if you want to send that back. I guess I'm kind of a layman when it comes to this. I don't work with the insurance group.
Yeah.
But I would ask, I guess, what is the outcome that this guy's looking for?
He wants he wants to have somebody fix it, and he is not going to pay for it.
Right. Send me something like that, and we'll see what we can do. Again, I have not seen the official report of that investigation, nor would I, but I can ask. I can certainly ask and see what...
Okay. Let's see how far the resident gets with the insurance company, and then we might have to get Michelle involved and go from there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Certainly.
Any other questions for John?
Yeah. For John, information.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it.
Can I ask a question, Aaron?
Yes.
How much of the weekly expense, if we wanted to compare, because just for our information, if we went to this every other week?
So they don't break it up on our bill.
Oh,
by
they
week.
Don't. Okay,
no, they just give us
sort of
like
comparison.
What it is for recycling as a whole and what it is for trash as a whole, I believe.
Okay.
We pay $57.45 a month. So if we went to the extra one, then it would put us $3,000 over budget, and that's not including the extra that we pay to them for the amount of pickups we have for bulk pickup day.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a couple of different things that would put us over the...
The audit thing kind of scares me a little bit. It's like me, for example, we set our stuff up the night before. If it doesn't get picked up, it's going to be sitting all day. I hope it doesn't knock over and now blow trash all over the neighborhood.
Yeah, and then you've got it for another week, and yeah. I mean, I kind of like the larger container every 2 weeks. That,
that's why I was wondering from a cost perspective.
Yeah,
that audit seems like they would lose money on that.
That doesn't make sense.
I
mean, getting out of the truck every single time.
I think it was just a solution that they offer that they know no one's going to do, but they have to have another. Well, here's an option.
Yeah.
Although, you know, if they really did that, and the people that were really the violators... You know, it just stays there. Well, then maybe that teaches people.
I was thinking that's
what we want.
It's right. Almost like the threat of an audit coupled with education.
Yeah.
Because I think that there are a bunch of people that have the two bins and they line them in their kitchen and they just chuck it in.
Yeah.
I did until a couple of years ago, until somebody told me otherwise. But,
yeah. Yeah, I say we reach out to friends, neighbors, residents.
Maybe your mayor's column.
Yeah, I can include it in there. Boy, I'd really like to put this off for another, 2 months maybe. I mean, really, to get a better gauge on it. I mean, he's asking us for an answer in a month.
Well, it's $560 a month. That puts us over budget. If we could kick this can down the road until July, then it's
in
the budget.
We have contracts.
I do like the idea of an educational video for this because I know you did the event at the clubhouse, and I was planning on going. I had a last second thing come up, and that information is gone after the session. So I think it seems like anything you get, from the grocery store or from Amazon, as long as it's cardboard or plastic, can be recycled. All these other things, like if your vacuum breaks and you think, well, the bin is plastic, I'll throw that in. That stuff can't be recycled. I think it's just kind of it's like he said, when in doubt, throw it out.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people think it's that wishful recycling. Like, well, this is plastic, they'll figure it out.
Yeah.
And then we get dinged for that. So I think we just boil it down to, your plastic bottles, milk jugs, tin cans, and cardboard. Everything else, throw it out.
Yeah.
And then when they audit, maybe in a year or whatever many months, they audit us and we're better than 10%. And,
I think the second time you brought up doing a video like that. You have experience?
I have no experience.
Oh, perfect.
So,
very
I am very charismatic.
That's true.
I think you qualify. I think a good opening would be you popping out of a recycling van like Oscar, kind of like, hey, I'm Dave, but I'm here to tell you all about recycling.
I'd like to nominate John Christie to be on the MC. I'd be happy to.
I've got somebody who thinks it's a great idea that would be a great performer in it.
Uh-huh.
I'm not kidding. He's,
oh, really?
Mike Olson loves the idea.
Okay. Well, so, I've got, when we went and did the audit at the MRF, I don't know what MRF means, but that seems like a cool thing to say.
Yeah.
They gave me a waste management hard hat and a reflective vest so I could be the recycling guy who gets the bag of money if we don't comply.
Why don't you look into it?
Absolutely.
We don't want to spend a ton of money, but we also don't want it to look cheap and cheesy. But give it
to Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think that has more staying power than.
Yeah, we can put it on our website. Q News can put it out there.
Okay.
Put it on YouTube, whatever.
It's going to go viral, man.
Because that event was like. We went to all that trouble.
Yeah.
And it was like hardly anybody showed up.
I know. That's disappointing.
After all disappointing. After Charles, well, then I guess I heard Charles wrote his article, so we didn't really need to, because he put all that information in the article, which was good.
Yeah.
But it's like, gosh.
Merch stands.
Yeah, that was a bummer.
Materials.
I still think it was a good idea. So, okay. Any other discussion about that? No? Okay.
I've got my odor update, but that could wait.
Okay. Sounds good. Moving on. Leanna, we already recognized visitors, but you came in a few minutes late. Anything to question, comments?
Yeah, I thought the minutes looked really good this month. They'll be coming out on Wednesday. And I think you hit a real nice, happy medium, keeping everybody informed. Yet, anyway, I thought it was good.
All right. I'll try to do that again.
Not the minutes. I didn't do that. The narrative.
The narrative. That's right. All right. Well, thank you. Speaking of minutes, number four, consider approval of minutes. Has everybody had a chance to look at those? And everything look okay? Any discrepancies? Anything at all?
Motion to approve.
I've got a motion to approve. In minutes?
Second.
I've got a second. Any discussion? Okay. All in favor? Those opposed? All right.
Great. Did you make that motion?
I did.
Motion carries. Moving on again. Treasurer's report. Erin Leckie.
For February, we ended up on 7% above budget for the month, 1.6% above budget for the year so far. We were 3% over budget for expenses. Which really can just be explained by the Opti project. We paid our first invoice to them for about $10,000. Since it's a smaller project, I figured we would not run it through Johnson County reimbursement until probably towards the end of it. So that might continue for a little bit, but we'll work out in the long run.
And what's the total on that going to be?
$133,000, $100 paid by the county and $33 paid by us.
Thank you.
Give or take a few bucks.
When we get up to about 50, maybe once construction is going, then I figured I would run through. But instead of, it's not the $120,000 bills that come with
the guy's
not that guy's project.
Okay.
So still 1.3% below budget for the year. Switching over to checks. A couple I wanted to point out that I figured would be questions. You'll see on page 3 of the check detail, we paid payment number 3 to B.F. Anderson. And then if you flip over to the deposit detail on page 2, you'll see that we were paid back by Q Inc. this time. The county has been, for some reason, a little bit delayed in paying us.
On the last one?
Yeah. Not sure. Didn't really give an explanation as to why. So we have that side agreement with Q Inc. that if the county didn't pay us by the end of the month, they would.
Is that the guy that said he was out of town and sick and all that stuff?
He was out of town for a week. He was sick for a week, but he had already passed all the information over to their accounting department. So that shouldn't have had any reason. Okay. He said that we would get it probably this week, but so far nothing. So we'll see. If you remember for that project, we had the original agreement with them, with the county, for the original amount. We've almost hit that amount.
Yes.
Then we went back and asked for more, and that was approved, but it has not been signed off on by the Board of County Commissioners yet. And so we are going to have to hold off, and he wants just one more at the very end of the project, that then they'll get it signed by the commissioners and then give us paid back.
Gotcha.
If all goes well, we should be wrapping that up possibly as early as Friday. Okay. The plan is get sod everything in this week. One issue I copied you on.
Yep,
I saw that.
Yeah, that's an ongoing.
Yeah, sounds like it.
But hopefully we'll get it all wrapped up here pretty quick.
A couple other items I wanted to point out. You'll see Kansas Municipal Insurance Trust right below that. It's BF Anderson one for $4,200. That's our workers' comp insurance for the year for the city. Below that is the 2,000 paid to the League of Kansas Municipalities for our city dues. Below that, there's that OptiCheck that we've paid. That's the only one associated with this project to date, the $87.75. On the next page, some gas station bills that were paid that I passed on to Dave. And then on the last page, you'll see some, or the second to last page, the travelers, our large payment for the rest of our insurance coverages. Not much else on the deposit. We have three journal entries for the month, and then you'll see the credit card detail attached as well.
Good.
Anyone have any questions? Any other ones you wanted an explanation on or anything?
Not that I saw.
Cool.
Council, any questions for Aaron? About the treasurer's report or any of that?
I did notice that QEEC hadn't billed us, I guess, 2 months for mow and landscape, but.
Oh, because it's been all snow removal.
Right, I saw that. But they have been doing.
Oh, no, it usually stops this time of year.
Okay.
If
I've seen them blowing the parking lot with the leaf blower and stuff like that.
And they've actually been working. Which I appreciate, as opposed to the time when he came in here and saw them sitting on the curb and he yelled at them. Really
funny. Yeah, that area looks good by the fire. Whoever cleaned that out by the fire.
Yeah, where the signs and stuff were. Yeah.
Looked good.
Mm-hmm. I think that was the day after the meeting.
Yeah, last meeting, when I was leaving, I thought of Gail. I'm like, you didn't mess around with that tree out front.
I know.
Yeah.
It was done
like a day or two later, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Man, I'm going to have to work this a little harder on my end. Yes.
Okay, so no more questions for Aaron. Moving on to Bill Cole. And we got to approve the treasurer's report.
Yeah. I move to approve the treasurer's report.
Okay. Got a motion. I got a second. Any discussion? No? All in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? All right. Motion carries to approve the treasurer's report.
Yeah, we've got this, Bill. Nobody brought their laptop.
Okay, I'm going to talk about, a number of items. We've got it last meeting. Apologies.
Sorry, Bill, real quick. Have you met with Michelle Days?
We have.
Okay.
I think we've met on my prior. It was under the event of some kind.
Okay.
Thank you. Welcome. Thanks for coming. All right. I have seven items on the list. The ones that are asterisked, singularly, page two of the UAD sheet, if you don't have. The single asterisks are ones that are freebies. I have been nominated and volunteered to pay, and I hope this is in front of you or close to it. It should be in your notes. Is it or not? Yes. It's not. Is it or isn't it? It's on your computers.
It is on our computer.
Oh, well, must have just...
It came real late. Somebody said it today.
Oh, there it is. It's under Foresight Solutions.
Wow. Great. Can I turn the lights down so you can see the screen better? You guys good?
You got it? Okay.
Yeah, we're good.
So if you're the SMAC is the Stormwater Management Advisory Council, where we have, it's more like the Senate. We get one vote. Overland Park gets one vote. It's a great deal. Okay? And it works for every city in the county. We are a member, and we are in watershed number 6. That'll be the second topic that we talk about it. That is a single asterisk, and that's my volunteer work that I'm doing for you. While I was gone last time, my daughter texted me and said, will you Cars 2? And I said, yes. I have no idea what it is, but if you look at item 6 down there, I are the Cars boy, which is basically, I believe, traffic and roads
county
in Johnson
roads.
County, yeah. Not Wyandotte County. So it involves Renner. And a little bit else, okay?
Yeah.
That's about it. But Renner is what we want to think about it as. And until we're able to get moved from Wyandotte County into Johnson County and totally, which I think our lawyer can take care of tomorrow, we'll just stay with that being the case. There is no CARS program in Wyandotte County. There is no stormwater management program in Wyandotte County. Okay. The first topic is OPTI. We'll speak about that. The third topic is government-required Class A dam inspections. The fourth topic is lake leveling equipment issues that we have. Number five is spillway, and then number seven. And I want to do this publicly. I want to make sure this is understood. That's my daughter. She pays my bill. And I want to make sure I have three council members who did not vote for me to be in a role with the city of being a program or project manager to try and manage engineers. The reason I arrived is we had a heck of a time getting our spillway engineers to do anything. And I was able to instigate them to do stuff. It worked very well on our spillway drill and patch and delay the massive expense we're going to have for a 3-year period. And so they kept me on to do other things. So I've done other things since then. So my selection of being on SMAC got us to the OPTI project where we get the $100,000 to put in the control in the back lake. So this is not advocating for Bill. This is making sure you all understand the situation and what I do. The ones that are double asterisks are the ones you pay me to do, okay? And unlike John, who is a free guy, I cost you money when I do work. In the last 3 years, the first year, we went from a $400,000 budget for the spillway stuff to spending about $135,000.
Yeah.
I did about 17,000 hours of work that first year. The next two, those are paid work. I do not charge for the total number of hours that I work. But I want to make sure there's an understanding that I'm paid for my services. The second one is in 2018, it was 29 hours, $3,000 or $4,000. And then in 2019, it was 23 hours in terms of the amount of time I chose. And that involves everything from, oh, blank, we're supposed to have this bridge inspected. Has anybody done it? Oh, gee, we've got pipes that are loose down here. What do you need to do? So I try and coordinate with whoever the agencies are that we interact with and make sure it gets done correctly. So one of the things I'm asking for is just the exact same plan we've had in the past being approved again. There's no changes to it except the dates so that I understand. And basically, as we laid out when Gail joined, I think in like the second year, basically it's a 50. He has 50 hours that he can do whatever he wants to ask me to do. Remember, I had 23 and 29 mm-hmm. total for the year. And if we have a project of some kind, it can be, has to be, well, the project itself has to be approved by you beyond that. And that's, I've just covered item number 7. I want to make sure that's understood. If you'd like to see what was agreed to, I'll be happy to provide you a copy of it. I invoiced in for only those things which this council has approved. An example, the OPTI project, we approved it at $10,000 is the budget for the program management of it that would go to Foresight Solutions. So far, I've billed this number. I probably will bill much less than $10,000 on that. The total construction cost, we hope to be under $10,000 for that. We'll get to that when I cover number 1. Questions so far on my reverse order of going to number 7, trying to do this so you get home late early tonight and trying to work this out. Let's go to number 1. That would be the next one there. So the OPTI project. For third class city, so we can direct award our contracts. That's what it calls for in the Johnson County rules for how this is done. So instead of doing 3 bids for a $10,000 construction project, John and I went out today with Leon Rickey and Andy Downey. Leon, dirt, Andy, concrete. Showed them the job, gave them the plans, met with the engineer. We hope it's a 4-day job. We're looking for warm weather. We're pumping it in the next 5 days. We hope to clean that retention bond out completely, let it dry, and if the gods are with us next week, clean the hole we need to do, pour the gravel into the hole, pour the concrete on it, set the device that we have stored in the firehouse along with the other $70,000 worth of equipment that's out there, and place it in place and get it in service before the flood season or the rain season occurs at the end of April.
Where does that actually go?
Do you know where the spillway turn is as you go around the corner
yeah.
To the retention pond? There's this ugly looking thing that sticks up.
Yeah.
We'll have a nice pretty little thing next to it.
Gotcha.
That's where it will be.
Yeah.
Okay? Mm-hmm. It's operated by connected with a company called OPTI, which is in Boston, and they basically monitor the weather, allegedly and proven so far better than the National Weather Service. They will open and close that based on our input, but their decision to drain it completely into the lake, where John can then coordinate it and open the lake so that it's empty and can fill up with muddy water coming off our Shawnee friends and neighbors to the south and keep it from flowing into the lake that we have it doing now. It is not going to solve sedimentation. It will help avoid sedimentation from about a third of our, maybe a little more than a third of our input tributaries that are coming into the lake. Okay? About how much?
Close to half.
Close to half, because it's the largest one on that backside.
So those heavy rains when the cove in front of your house.
Into the lake?
Yep. Yeah.
We're hoping to eliminate, not reduce those to as much of a minimum as we can.
Okay.
And we've had more of those the last 3 years.
Yep.
We'd like to then be such good citizens. We're the research project for Johnson County on this. We're number two application that they've done. We have to pay for the monitoring the first year. There'll be a $10,000 ongoing fee that will then be taken over by Johnson County Stormwater because they hope to have more of these in place, but they've already committed to take that on as theirs. So we get testing on that water and everything else by the county.
Yes. Would Johnson County then charge us a fee?
No. You're paying for it every time you flush the toilet. It's on sales tax. It's 1/8 of a cent sales tax for all the county. All right. So Ricky Excavation, Andy Concrete, they are insured. They are not bonded. Okay. This is a little bit different than our normal contracting purposes, but it is extremely small, and I think the cost of our bidding would outweigh the cost of the construction. Okay. Met today with them, where they're permitting little to no disturbance to residents. That is a little incorrect. And looking at it when John and I were out there, we will be blocking traffic, and I will be angry with those people blocking my traffic to get around the lake past the horse area for a number of minutes or hours as we get heavy equipment into and down that hill or concrete trucks pouring on the 3 to 5 days when people are in there working. Okay? It should be minimal. Yes, what
I said. Yeah, I think that. You know, they could leave one lane open, maybe.
Yeah, one lane will be open. It'll be one lane, but obviously it's just, you can get by.
Okay.
Yeah. But we had things down on holiday a couple of times where they had to block the whole thing for, you know, 15 seconds while the truck moved. That's going to happen.
Okay. So does this thing have power to it? Is it energized?
Solar panel. No energy at that spot. So no electricity at that spot. So solar panel powers the device that opens and closes valves and the messaging up through cell network to receive the signal. Okay.
Is this an example of a project that we put on our thing, let people know that we're doing this work or on the?
I know Ben's mentioned it before.
Just thinking, the road's going to be. It's
been in the narrative, but not in detail like this. So it's not a bad idea to put something on the website
the article,
in detail.
The gentleman wrote, was my neighbor wrote, was excellent, kind of told everybody all about it, but in terms of getting people aware that. Hey, on the backside of the lake.
Yeah.
It will not be closed like other roads have been closed, but it will be for a few moments at a time. I don't think we'll ever have we may have a concrete truck in one lane for half an hour while it pours out one time. It'll be back and down.
You're right. Railing.
Nope.
Yeah, I like that idea, just letting them know.
I'm just thinking, the more we are letting know just what's going on, I think it's good for us.
Okay, let's go to the second one if we can on SPEC watershed update. We're in watershed 6. It's going to be named something special. I'll work hard to pick a name with the other four members of that, which are Lenexa, Shawnee, ourselves, and rural Johnson County. Okay, we are in the Mill Creek Basin, but we're not in the Mill Creek Basin. That's what it's called, Mill Creek. But they can't call it Mill Creek because we're not in it. Our water comes separate from Mill Creek, does not flow to it. There's a lump, you go behind the dump, and you're into Mill Creek's basin, okay? But we get collect a very small area off of this, and then it flows into the Call River. So if you think about this for a minute, we're in there, and there's a few others like us that are, I guess, tadpoles stuck amongst a larger block. But it gives us a little bit more power. Shawnee's in 3, Lenexa's in 5, the rural area is the only one. So you can only be the leader of one. So I'm really interested in seeing who they're going to pick as the leader because those other two cities have much more dominant water, Mill Creek being one of them, the other ones that go downstream towards Turkey Creek. It's going to be fun to see who they vote for. I'm going to sit quietly. If I get nominated, I will agree to serve because the person who is responsible for that area is now the only one on the SMAC decision-making committee.
Ooh.
Do you really think you'll be able to sit there quietly?
Okay. It's going to be fun to watch. And if I don't get it, that's all right. We still have the ability to make live hell for Shawnee and for Lenexa if we want to. Because we'll be kind of like the one in between, because they'll be fighting over where all these big projects are going. And it'll be fun to see, because you have to have a winning vote to make sure you're in that area. Okay, enough said.
That's a week from today?
That's on, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, Monday, that's true. Week from today.
Yeah.
And the meeting's from 8 to 10. You're welcome to come, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
They'll tell us the rules, et cetera. A lot of formation going on, new rules and regulations for how the watershed districts versus the overall county do it. There'll be little or no support financially from the county for projects like Opti and other things like that in 20 and 21. And since we have a registered inspector of all of our stormwater assets now, once all of them are subject to his review, we will be able to recommend upgrades to them. But we have to have them inspected before we can do anything to them. And this is ditches, culverts, anything that is in Johnson County. They will not fix our dam or anything in Wyandotte County, even though it's caused by Johnson County. Thou cannot leave the county you paid money into. Okay? It's critical we stay involved and get Lake Quivira mapped and worked on. Okay? I'm also going to try and get us recommended to be the county's first candidate to do northeast Johnson County proper together work on, let me see if I got this laid out correctly. When you want to build a house on your property and you go look at the rules of what it looks like in the plats, guess what? It's not exactly what it is in real life. It's close. So there's a number of things dealing with the photography part. And by the way, they started on the southwest corner of the county to get those accurate moving this direction. Okay? So there may be a 2 to 3 foot difference between real life, where that marker is on my property, and what the one that shows from the official, not the official one, the one that you might look at and see what you own or build on. What's it called?
Ames,
that's correct. The Ames is slightly off. And I'm going to try and advocate, stormwater's big on this. So I'm going to try and advocate that we be one of the first cities because we are totally and completely screwed up on measurements, okay? When you look at out here what you own or what you don't own, historically, okay? Okay. Okay, everybody, so far, look number three, if you would. Kansas government required Class A dam inspection. We've got to be inspected because, not because a third of the rail traffic in America flows past here. That's irrelevant. It's because 1,500 cars are on Holiday Drive. That's the only reason that we are a Class A dam. If that road is taken out, life ceases in Johnson County. If the bridges and all the trains fall apart, nobody cares, according to the rules of the state of Kansas. Okay? So keep that in mind, and that is our biggest issue that I think we need to deal with. Every two years it needs to be done. We have to have it done by April of 2021. We still have a negative grade erosion problem next to the dam. So if you go from the water side of the dam, it's got to look like this. Ours looks like this next to it. And John and I talked about it last year on our walks. We have never gotten around to it. I don't want to spend the money until we decide what we want to do there. And I have some grandiose plans that I want you to at least think about before we decide what to do. But by next April, we got to do what we're supposed to do. We clean the bottom of the dam, the toe of the dam, the foot, whatever you want to call it. We had all of that cleaned. Did a great job of it. There's a couple of trees somebody might object to, but they were too tall. I did not want to pay to get them removed. And if it gets accepted, we're okay. But the purpose is to try and keep the dam from having roots that go into the dam and create areas when the tree dies so that whole bottom. The only thing we need to do is whoever gets the grass mowed, we have got to bush hog, as you say, south, or brush hog, as you say, north, that bottom half of the dam sometime by the start of summer, where that's going to grow back and those weeds will turn into small trees that will turn into the same thing we have. So we need to, the bottom of the dam, the toe, we need to do something to clean that dust. I'll be happy to bring my tractor and do that, but you got to pay the liability to my wife when going along the hill like this has to happen. Okay?
Is that the area that you cleaned out?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. We need to get that cut. Not to where it's as pretty as the slope with the grass on it.
Right.
It's got to be bushed.
Yeah.
Okay? Right.
And those weeds could start growing
immediately.
Quick.
They already are. Okay. We have had no major events, so I think it's been a good idea at number four items to use the spelling. And we still have two leaks that need to be fixed. They're small ones. and one in the gate. They're not dam killers, but we still have not filled those, and we're trying to figure out exactly how and when to do that best. Okay?
Can I go back to the brush hogging thing? So
you must be from the north.
No, I'm joking. Go ahead.
So are you telling us that, like, we're supposed to tell somebody, or does somebody else mows the grass?
I don't know who mows the grass. Pardon me?
I believe golf maintenance knows that area.
Yeah. Perfect.
Okay. So we need to take, and that has been one where it wasn't mowed before. It was all knocked down. And the first time your brush hog is going to work very hard to make sure, because it's going to hit some things it wasn't supposed to. But we got to get that done one way or another in the next few months. You need to do it at least 3 times a year if you're a true Kansas farmer to make sure that weeds and that grass is kept down where it belongs.
Okay. Okay. Does anybody want to talk to either Brad or Justin about brush?
It's Brad.
Brad? Okay. I've got a relationship with Brad. I can reach out to him.
I did too. I mean, because this would be... Oh. I mean, that's what I was trying to figure out, because normally I'm involved in the landscape and the mowing and all that, and I wasn't sure if...
I'm asking whoever's responsible for it, so you guys...
Well, I was always wondering, is it a dam thing? Is it a landscaping thing?
We
is
need
it a...
Actually, Dave, we need to talk about, sit down with Brad before the season starts, on what we need to do a lot better out there.
Yeah, because Aaron gets the invoices, and then she'll pass them through a lot of times.
We just need to review what needs to be done right. Okay. Out here, it's very pretty.
Yeah.
Okay, now the black eye, we have lake leveling equipment, which refuses to work. There's two entities that are involved in lake leveling that we have worked with. High Sierra, I believe it is because they are high that it does not work. But it's High Sierra is the company that has sold us the equipment, and the equipment is the following. A thing that basically tests the level of the water in the lake. Batteries that power it telling that. Solar panel that powers the batteries. And communication equipment that makes it send the signal to a cell tower to tell them the lake is getting full, the lake is getting empty, and then they tell us. Now, there's 2 or 3 markers. Regular is when we see it, and the way it's set up, we have 5 people, whoever runs the truck, John, myself, Aaron, Fred, Mayor, who would basically be informed it's getting a little bit higher. Then we've got a number of other measures when it gets to a somewhat emergency level, and then it's the old blank, clear out the clubhouse, clear out of George's house, that type of measure. Those are all set up. We're supposed to be able to do that. We have to do that because of the agreement we made with the state of Kansas on our Class A dam not to build a 6-foot wall where you see the walkway as you cross the dam needed to be 4 feet tall. And we said, no, 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 we're not going to do that. It's a beautiful dam. Let's do it this way. They said, okay, but you got to warn everybody when the water gets bad. We are not capable of doing that now. High Sierra had sent us new equipment. We went out and got it to work. All of a sudden, the batteries did not get a signal with them. I attempted to fix it following the directions of High Sierra. I burnt down most of the equipment in that trying to fix it. So we said, forget this, buy it again. We bought it again. We had it officially hooked up by the McClure people. This gentleman was standing with him. It worked. Both the battery and the signals were working the way that they should. A day later, I get a call from the McClure people. That's an engineering firm here in town. They said, it's not working the way it's supposed to. Can we go look at it? They went and looked at it. They looked at it again. They looked at it again. A week later, they sent us a bill for twice the amount of money because it was 4 trips out there. And it has not worked since.
Did High Sierra charge us for the...
High Sierra has hit in the dark. I've put emails. I got a trail that's incredible. Okay. But they basically said, we're really sorry. We got a new boss and a new people to help hook it up. We'll get back with you. And I've sent them the blankety blank blank note and come up with a solution, and we haven't got there. My brilliant thought was let Opti do it as we do this, and they only want $7,000 more to hook it up in a separate system and $10,000 a year to do the same monitoring. So I said, we got to fix it. So we're trying to fix it. This is the fix-it crew. This is the fix-it crew and the pay-for-it crew. Haven't figured out how. And we're raising hell with High Sierra and the court to figure that out.
Can I get Johnson County to pay for that, too?
Okay. Also, for your info, if you're not aware of it, we're closing the spillway gate in 2 weeks.
So it's not a problem.
We'll be monitoring it manually like we did at the end of last season.
So John always is checking on the lake. We all are checking on the lake. We know when it gets to the spot, but Is George out of his house or is he asleep? Who knows? We've got to be able to let him know. We have to meet the requirements the state has set up.
Yeah.
Or we as a city are liable for not doing what we're supposed to.
Do we have to have that done by a certain date?
Yeah, June of 2016. Okay. And it was working for a while. It has just ceased. We're trying to get that fixed. I don't have a solution on that.
Okay.
Last item that's up
to no one actually monitors whether we have a monitor.
There's not a monitor until after the flood happens. And then, Mr. Mayor, why was it that that's what we're trying to make sure of? Okay.
Gotcha.
All right. Yes, sir. All right. We switch to the next one, which is the last one, spillway planning. I'm from the power generation world. You cannot make money with electricity right now in the Kansas region because it's too cheap. And it will be too cheap for at least another 10 years. Okay? Someday, in her son's and daughter's future, when Harris is an electrical engineer, well, when Nora is an electrical engineer, that's probably the case, there may be a time when it can't. So what I'd like this community to think about is instead of replacing the spillway with another spillway that does what a spillway does, which is run water downhill, we put in a spillway that anticipates it could be used for power generation sometime in the future. A small dam. Bear with me for just a moment. So when water is being drained out of that thing, when power is way expensive, it can just run down a turbine and make it work. We're not going to put that expense in the deal now, but we need to put a box at the end of our spillway and a beautiful waterfall that it runs over right now so all of our people who love beauty and nature can watch a beautiful waterfall, the second highest one in the state of Kansas, which we could make even higher with a well-done project. Third highest, darn it. And then a walkway that we could have to get people down there, in addition to just making a spillway.
And the box would catch the water?
No, the box would be covered up until we needed it. It would also support what the end of the spillway would look like.
Okay.
Just think of a bridge structure.
Yeah.
And it's a box that 35 years from now, somebody can pull off the top, drop a turbine in there.
Gotcha.
And make money. Yes, sir.
What would you anticipate? Like, is it something that, can you teach me a little bit about what does power the clubhouse?
It would power about the clubhouse. It would power the pumps that would water the grass rod, golf course. If we had solar panels on top of that, which we considered this year, it's hard to put money into it when you got 8 to 10 cent power. Move to Hawaii, we'd be doing it right now. 46 cents, lowest possible price in Hawaii. Okay, or New York, or any of the other important states that determine elections. California, et cetera. The prices are going up considerably faster than they are in the Midwest, even though we are paying much more than we did a few years ago. But still, as long as I want to not eliminate that possibility, if we could. So one of the ideas we had was a walkway that would be either on this side of the dam or on the other side of the dam. Remember where we got that negative grade? What if it was a 3-foot wide sidewalk with a very limited tilt away? Maybe even a rail, I don't know. But went to a center island in the middle of the dam that people could take pictures from when they have weddings that are, I'm getting it, you look crazy at me right now. All I'm after,
don't forget my flag.
And the flagpole that is out there in the middle of the, okay, something like that. Or just the fact that you could walk next to the spillway away from the road, that last corner right there, and then walk right underneath the spillway or across the road somehow at the edge of the spillway and then go all the way down to where the waterfall would be and into the trails. What I'm trying to do is figure out how we might be able to do something like that and make a cheaper spillway. So instead of replacing the spillway with concrete on the sides and concrete here, concrete on the bottom and the rocks on the side, two berms, rocks on the side. Think of when you've seen the spillway filled. How many people have seen it completely filled with water?
I've seen it pretty darn full.
Pretty darn full.
Yeah.
So how often does that last?
Not
how long?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what we're, and we built that concrete. Well designed by Black and Beach in 1920.
Yeah.
Remember that.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's what I'm trying to do is figure out if we can save money on that type of application and use that money in a different place and to do it without raising taxes in a staged process, et cetera. If they don't want to do that, let's blow it up. Let's bid it the way we would normally bid it and pay $800 to $1.4 million to have it fixed, which is coming here soon. Okay? So that's what we need to do in 20.
So how much do you think the pretty way?
I think if, again, I don't have any.
I mean, just compared to that.
compared with that, I think we can do the exact same thing with a rock side and a concrete base spillway and a beautiful waterfall at this end. It looks like a waterfall. It's got a box at the end that somebody can use in 45 years, I think, for the same amount as we can by blowing up the spillway, hauling off all the broken rock, covering what we have to cover, and re-pouring a spillway similar to the one we have now.
Still a
$1 million. Some of the extra stuff.
But still a $1 million project.
We have $1 million project, somewhere in that range. $800 to $1 million is, I believe, what we can spend.
Either way. Oh, okay, got it.
But I think this group needs to think about that. And again, I'm okay with any answer if we just want to go cheap and not have any of the extras we talked about. We might be able to do it for slightly less than that. But we, a couple issues. The state has approved to replace the spillway, as the spillway is. We have that engineering done. But engineering is a minimal cost. It's 5%, 4% of what we're talking about. If you re-engineer it a different way, we might be able to do it in a different sequence. Okay? But I believe we need to think about that this year. Some of the things I talked about that was up there, explore alternatives, workshop with council and staff, get somebody in here who is a real-life engineer who knows what they're doing, or two or three, some competing ideas, an open workshop with residents. So all the residents have a chance to spout wisdom, so I don't hear like John did, I never thought we were going to tear up the street. I remember that in the first meeting I went to, after John had six other meetings before that.
But is this, I just have a question about the financing on this. So, like, none of this has been part of the budget. Is it something that... Have we started working money into it? And
I don't think we're close to it, but we've put money away.
We've put about $400,000 away since this came up.
So every year we kind of just put some more in it.
Yeah, again, why we delayed doing it, we should have done this in 2018. Right. We built the whole thing for whatever it was. We did not, and we got a great bid, much more than we thought, because we set it up correctly, I think, when the board did a great job at that time of helping us.
But you're saying this needs to be done in the next year and a half?
Yes, ma'am.
So we're $600,000 short?
That would be one way to look at it, or we can do a little at a time, and put it into the year. We're trying to do it without a tax increase. We originally were looking at a tax increase. And so
why... Without a tax increase, because, I mean, I'm just saying, this is one of those projects that I'm just thinking, it's a big expense, but it's like, maybe raising the tax wouldn't be an issue. I don't know, but I'm just thinking.
Well, it's one of those where, when you're going to build a new grade school in Lenexa, you want to fix the grade school in Prairie Village to get the whole district to vote for it. One of the things about fixing the spillway is, wouldn't it be nice if we had a beautiful walk that went, you know, underneath the road, okay, or some means to get across the road and then walk straight down and get a little walking lane down past the waterfall and then reconnect it back up. Something like that that is more than just a rough trail, which we have now.
Yeah, I love your perspective, Andy. That it's fresh because, you know, with the previous council, I think everybody was kind of conservative on the same page. Raising taxes wasn't discussed a whole lot, even for these types of projects.
Well, and I don't know what the, we barely talked about this, Aaron, but like, what are the implications of an X percent increase? What does that, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, when we do budget planning, we'll go through all of that. I present, this is where we are if we stay exactly the same.
Yep.
This is where we are if we went to this. This is where we are if we went to this, kind of. Where that unallocated number can go to.
Yeah, and I'm not, I mean, I'm sure people don't want their taxes raised, but I don't think, I think we need to look at all our available means of,
And how many years have we not raised taxes?
7 or 8.
Never since I've been here.
And how does that compare to all the other cities?
We are the third lowest in Johnson County, but we have the other exception of high HOA dues.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any state assistance?
No. Wyandotte County. Dams in Wyandotte County, 100% of it. Johnson County was the only place I've already tried to save, but it's all Johnson County water that's creating this need. Yeah? So what?
And is this also in conjunction with, like, you know, you hear about the Coronado Falls? I mean, is this, it's kind of that same area, right? I mean, I'm just thinking from a...
The waterfall.
Yeah. So, I mean, your idea is part of that idea.
It's a number of other people. Yeah. I just had that box.
Right.
Like my idea is just a box.
I'm sure we could be the tallest.
You got a ways.
We can pick that up along the way.
The higher the waterfall, the bigger the head, the more power that you get. So we're going to try and make it, you know, a few more feet.
I like the forward-thinking idea, thinking about the future, considering, you know, we've got this great trail system now. And all those ideas, I think, are great, and we should look into those. If it makes sense cost-wise, then, you know.
So how many people have seen the backside of the dam? Everybody look at it?
Without the
solar,
stone?
What a great solar array of people that we could put up that backside.
The non-water side.
No, this is north.
They sled down there.
Okay, we need one spot for people to sled.
Oh, there.
No, put panels so they can
a loose track.
I get a little distracted, as my daughter will tell you, but we ought to be thinking about those kind of things that you put it in and it pays for itself. Was the 20-year payback okay? It's not in business. Why not here? We think, how 1920-something that dam got designed. 28, 29, come on. We ought to think about that. That's some of the ideas I'd like you to consider.
Yeah.
We're fixing a hydro plant in northern UP, and it's 1903, and it's been making 7.1 megawatts since 1903, with just under $500,000 of upkeep total in that period of time. Think that was a bad investment? Okay, that's the kind of stuff I'm trying to get us to think about in terms of they're hard to break.
Yeah, I like it.
So if you have any objection to me working here for the city, please make that known. I'll be happy to quit. I'm okay with that. I do this because I like this place and I like this job. It's a lot of fun, and you people do wonderful work for you. $2.
We're lucky to have Bill. He's obviously very passionate. He's a resident. He's doing great for us. So.
Okay, so if you have any issues, please let me know. If you think we should do that tomorrow, I'm ready to listen to it. And if you want to have that panel, I'll probably be presenting a concept that says you need to pay this to have this guy, and this guy come and talk about what hydro could do or how to design that.
Okay.
And thankfully, we have about 5 or 6 excellent design firms here in town.
Okay. Combination. All right. Thanks, Bill. Police Chief's report.
Everybody received my report. If anybody has questions, I'll go over the details.
How do you get a traffic complaint on a street that's 10 feet long on Call Lane?
Yeah, that street's longer than 10 feet. I grew up on that street.
Just do. You get a complaint, we have to answer to it.
I guess a complaint could be lots of different things.
Sure, it could be anything from parking to speeding to who knows.
What is a civil standby?
That'd be like, most common would be like a custody exchange.
Gotcha.
Could be anything from like contractors may have been released from a job and dropping off property. Something
gotcha.
Like that.
Okay.
And I just received some pricing that I had been waiting on, so I didn't have the opportunity to get you these numbers when the packet went out. So I provided everybody with the police vehicle pricing for your review. The things that were brought to my attention that I didn't know until I got the email was the deadlines for ordering the Explorer or an F-150 if we decided to go that route. So, of the 4 police vehicles, which all 4 are pursuit rated, the Dodge Durango was the least expensive.
How much?
$31,279, and the most expensive would be the Explorer Hybrid, which I would assume that we would see some of that savings back in fuel consumption. So those are kind of new out. So
how much was that one?
$36,124.
And Aaron, last month, what did you say we had, 30,000?
30. Yep.
Is there much of a miles per gallon difference between them? This is a hybrid. You'd expect this is something.
It's difficult to go with a miles per gallon because of the idle time of the police department. So although they all may be rated at, let's say, 16 to 18, basically when given our demographics here and nature of everything, the police car is going to be sitting idle for quite some time, either running radar or at slow speeds. So it's difficult. So I think when I looked, I think we might average 13 when you look at it. So.
I'm having a hard time visualizing it. Ford F-150 is a police, like a truck?
Yeah, Baywatch style.
So then if you have to put someone in the back, you just like throw them in the back of the...
It's a crew cab.
So it's the same size as an Explorer, right? I mean, same.
Well, the F-150 will be bigger.
Oh, it's bigger than the Explorer? Okay.
It's bigger, you got four doors, big cabin back, and then a truck bed.
What would be best for the police department?
Which
is without costs involved. I mean, you've had a few Explorers.
Mid-engine Corvette.
That price tag would be a little bit more.
So you got that.
Great stuff. For other complaints on call, I ain't doing burnouts.
The Durangos, at least the pursuit-rated version, is relatively new out. I've upfitted two of those already. I'll be doing another one for a different agency, and they don't have any complaints in it. So that's why I added it to the list. Previously, before, we had had issues with Dodges, and that's why we went to the Ford Explorers. So I would be happy with any of the four. I think they all will serve the job well. I think the biggest concern I would have of any of them would be the F-150, just in the officers getting used to the size of driving a crew cab pickup versus the smaller Explorer. I wouldn't have any issue with it because I already drive a crew cab pickup. But
and what is the additional equipment that are add on? How much extra is all that?
I would have to price them because they would be different per vehicle. But generally, I would have to say we probably could get everything around $2,500 to $3,000. And for those that didn't know, I do all the installations when I said I upfitted the other agencies. So I basically build the police car here without the additional expense of sending that out to someone else. So
how much longer do you think we have with the current vehicle?
It's at 90,000 miles,
yeah.
And I can smell coolant, but I don't know where it's leaking from. So it's one of those ones where it's just burning off, probably as soon as it's leaking. So I think we need to get one ordered as soon as possible. And with the information of we need to get this ordered by such and such date to lock in that pricing, we probably need to get some sort of approval. Unless we go the Durango route, and I can contact him tomorrow and see what the timelines are for that, if there's any.
Okay.
But, Aaron, 30,000 was budgeted for this for the year?
So yep.
Correct. So normally what happens is we budget 30 and then buys it for more, but then the sale price of the old car is what brings us back down. But then I know you had talked about possibly keeping the old car, so if we do that, then I hope that you could either find room in the budget for the police side or for the extra or whatever.
And we were hoping to have the fire truck sold a long time ago and use those funds, but we're still
working on that.
Still working on that.
Yeah, it just seems like the Explorer.
Every guy is interested.
I told Mark.
Yeah.
I don't like the...
And is this is this pricing with tax?
We're tax exempt.
Oh, that's right. Okay. That's good.
The Explorer is a known commodity. The Durango is a new model. I'd be kind of suspicious of that. But, I mean, we need one.
Yeah.
So,
and it's about $5,000 over with the Explorer plus the add-ons. So, I mean, I don't know if the, what the thought is on selling the old one versus keeping it. I mean,
if well, I don't know.
$5,000 is enough to worry about.
I mean, if we could find some money in your budget, we can sell the fire truck, and we're saving quite a bit of money on this bathroom remodel all of a sudden.
There's also, I was had the wheels spinning and voiced this to Aaron, some thoughts about looking into our loss rate or depreciation rate of the police vehicle within this wide span of time. It may be more advantageous to sell the police car after a year of use with the mileage low and little depreciation. Won't hurt to, okay, we'll sell it for X amount, then we really only take $1,000 or $2,000 hit maybe, versus
yeah.
We've lost, basically $25,000 in 3 years. I think that's why Kansas Highway Patrol has limitations on their patrol cars, because I think they mileage their cars out at, I think, 50,000 miles. And they have to be turned in and resold, and I think that's where they found the sweet spot, so to speak.
So we'd have 25, 30,000 miles after a year, you think?
Well, depending. If we keep one car, that might keep the mileage down, too.
Yeah.
So. It's an option to think about. Obviously, that it really doesn't make a sway one way or the other on the decision for tonight if we chose to vote on that tonight. I don't
I like the idea of having a backup for many reasons. 4th of July, maintenance,
all that. Could have used it Sunday.
Could have used it Sunday, yeah. Saw the side-by-side up there. Okay. I don't know. Can we think about this for a month?
He said we have to order it by the 3rd.
When is
you have to?
When's the next council meeting?
6th.
April 6th.
The 6th.
Yeah, that's a ways away. That's over a month away.
Yeah. So if we wanted to go the Explorer route, I would need to know before the next council meeting.
Do you think if you explain to him that our council meeting is not until the 6th that he would
That's done by Ford.
Okay. They don't have room at the dealership to
on that. So which one, I mean, okay, you're the driver of the vehicle and the rest of your staff, but which one do you want? I mean, it's here we are making a decision on which car to
I'm really get. Torn between the Durango and the hybrid, actually. The hybrid, although it's new out too, I think we're going to see them. If there's any opportunity for a cost saving, it's going to be with fuel.
Yeah.
And the stationary part of it. And the great thing, if we keep a backup vehicle, is if one of these do turn out to be a headache, we have a backup vehicle. And we're not doing the rental car thing. With the Dodge Chargers that were a headache. They were in the shop quite a bit, so.
I like the hybrid idea. I've got a partial hybrid on my truck. And, when you hit the gas at or the brake at a stoplight, you can hear the motor actually shut off. So even, when you're sitting there in the clubhouse, parking lot, or wherever, I don't think the engine's running the whole time. I think it might kick on, kick off, kick on, kick off. I like the hybrid idea.
I do too, and for $3,300 difference, and spend about $6,000 a year on fuel when fuel's dirt cheap.
Yeah,
I mean it's not. Can't imagine it going too much lower. So realistically, $18,000 to $20,000 in fuel. So if you pick up 15% savings on fuel, which I got to think to that point on the idle, you would. It's hard to see it being anything worse than a break even and could be a cost savings.
I just Googled the difference of Ford Explorer versus Ford Explorer Hybrid miles per gallon. This one, I'm sure, is on here.
How does everybody feel about keeping the old Explorer? as opposed to trading it in or selling it.
Sounds like a good idea to me.
Yeah.
Well, the concern would be the maintenance. I mean, if it's got a leak.
Well, yeah, that one of the reasons of kind of pushing it back is because to avoid that second car backup downtime or telling officers, hey, you can have the night off because we don't have a police car.
Yeah.
And I just covered on call. So basically, hopefully we can get the new car in.
Yeah.
And send that one off the shop. Like, okay, give it a tune-up, address this coolant leak wherever it is. And if you didn't know, that type of small leak, they'll have to put dye in it and pressurize the system and hopefully find it.
Seems like the value of the community is more than $5,000 to have the second police car.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what all we're going to get on trade-in. I mean, I think that makes sense.
That's my feeling, too.
Yeah.
So can we find $6,100 in the budget?
Well, actually, more like $9,000.
Mm-hmm.
$9,000
by the time you outfit.
Oh, that's yeah. Mm-hmm. So really?
Walkathon? We have a walkathon?
What do you think, Aaron?
I mean, it would be up to him because it would have to come out of, like, somewhere in the police budget, or we'd have to, I mean, we'd have to make up that money from someplace, either that or, I mean, use a reserve fund for this. I'm hesitant.
We could also at least get the car. Maybe we'll get the fire truck sold, and we can work on some of the other stuff.
Yeah, Mark reached out to Aaron and I. He's really trying to sell that truck hard all of a sudden. So,
great.
Fingers crossed that could happen.
And that's like 5,000. I mean, how much money?
He wants to get 12 to 14.
He says 12, but he's not having
it. Yeah,
eight.
Yeah, I'd be happy with 8 to 10 max. But yeah.
Since I'll tune to Iowa for 8,000. Come on.
Yeah.
I told him that the guy who dropped off the Opti thing is coming from Iowa. 15.
Call him back.
Hey, call him back and see who's 10. But no, I asked Mark on the text we had with him if he was putting it out to fire departments.
I wondered why you asked that.
That was the man who came from Iowa who built the Opti device, drove down here to drop off the Opti device, and he was like, it's a really nice fire truck. We have a couple of volunteer stations still around where I live that would love to have something like that. And so that's why I asked Mark.
And Mark was going to be in Iowa or something this week?
That's what I didn't understand. He acted like that was something he was going to explore, but who knows.
He's definitely motivated now to get rid of it. So I think we can count on that. Just not sure when.
Just got to be within the calendar year.
Yeah.
To offset.
Yeah.
That's all.
I'm pretty confident in being able to make the math work this year?
I think so. Yeah. I'm sure I can get creative with some of the lighting equipment.
Yeah. Can you take some off the old vehicle? Or do you need everything on that?
I'll get creative with it.
Okay.
Well, with that said, I would make a motion to purchase a Explorer Hybrid sometime between now and April 3rd, not to exceed $36,200.
Okay. You've got a motion. Do I have a second?
A second.
You've got a second. Any discussion?
Do we need to do a motion output?
Oh, yeah. I'll amend my motion to say, make a motion to spend up to $36,200 on an Explorer Hybrid for the police department and another up to $3,000 for outfitting equipment.
Okay. Is that okay? Yep. Amended motion. Accept the motion. Have a second.
A second.
Okay. Any seconds again? Any discussion, guys?
You did enough. Gail? You see how much?
Greg, Dave?
36.2 and then 3.
No? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? All right, motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it. Fire Chief report.
Thank you.
Stay
later.
Thanks for doing the first
day. I was not late. He's here at 6:28.
Oh, I guess I should have asked. I was sticking with white. Is that okay?
I assumed you were.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Are we going to incorporate the logo?
We can.
I'm going to try to work on that. And depending on how it looks, the old car, since if we're going to keep it, I want both cars to match.
Yeah, the idea was to keep the police seal because then it looks like a police car.
Yeah.
And if we just had the logo, it might look like a neighborhood security car.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if he can incorporate the shield and then the logo somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If you need anyone to drive the old police car around like big days around the lake, I'd be willing to do it just so it would look a big deal.
Okay. No fire chief's report. Kathy, anything?
No.
Nope. Mayor's report. Me. Let's see. Aaron and I had lunch with City Shawnee representative. Their fire chief is retiring in June, July, something like that. And we were just trying to get a feel if they had some sort of succession plan in place or any candidates. Mainly just thinking about, you know, the contract we have with them and making sure that that's still in place. Unfortunately, we didn't come away with much information. They were pretty quiet, pretty reserved. Didn't sound like there were any candidates yet.
And when's he retiring?
June 15th.
June 15th, yeah.
Didn't know if they were hiring from within. Didn't know if they were looking outside.
Yeah, it could be a promotion from within. We, you know.
Huh.
They have a police chief who retires at the end of May, and so I think they're like focused on that right now.
Yeah.
Oh, they appointed somebody. If you didn't know that.
Oh, did they already?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
As of when we met with them, they have not.
Yeah.
But between Aaron and I, we just need to stay in contact with them and tell them how much we appreciate their help, and because really we're kind of in a pickle if they decide to increase the price of the contract or whatever. So stay tuned on that. But
was that the lunch at Good Sense on the credit card report?
No, they paid for that.
No, that was for the audit for the people.
I was going to say since they're in charge of the contract, I would suggest you go. You know, do better than some sandwiches.
Maybe we should have paid for lunch.
I was
going to
say, maybe we should have paid for lunch.
Yeah.
No, he did ask me if they could do some boat storage out here, and I cleared it with John and Steve.
Absolutely.
Which he was happy
about. Thank you. I would try and help them out as much as we can. Yeah. Okay. I know we're going to talk about this here in a little bit. Holiday Drive section down there. In question with the guardrail. I was out there a couple weeks ago taking pictures, and Eric Bozeman drove by and said, "You know, that's Wyandotte County. That's Unified Government, not just Seven." I know we've got all these theories. Why do you think that, Eric? And he said, "Well, they patched it before, and I know the guys that do it." And I said, "Well, I agree with you there." So anyway, he put me in touch with a guy named Brandon Grover, who he's worked with in the past, who has not called me back. I've called him 3 times.
Because you gave him Boseman's name.
No, Eric reached out to him and then copied us on an email together. And then even included something in the email saying, you know, "I'm just afraid next heavy rain we get, that guardrail's going to whoosh." So in the meantime, I told Greg to contact Chad Johnson at Olson to see what the engineering costs would be. I was hoping that it was around $7,000-$10,000, and I think it came in at like $25,000. So, I still hate to tell Greg to proceed with Olson and the engineering if there's a chance that Wyandotte County is gonna do this repair. According to Eric, they are aware of this situation. They are more than happy to do it. I just don't know if they're gonna do it right. I'm willing to, split some costs if we have to, just to make sure it's done right. I hate delaying this thing over and over again, but at the same time, I don't want to, give Chad the go-ahead to start the engineering if, Unified Government's going to take care of all this. So, kind of in a tricky spot.
Well, is the work that Chad's doing baseline work that has to be done, whether Wyandotte? I was wondering if it was more creating the case, kind of, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
And so no matter if you you would still need something like that, or someone would have to do that.
I was thinking that. I was thinking that too. You know, like, again, I don't want to say I'm happy to, you know, we're happy to pay for it, but if they're going to help us out and you know, do this project, then yeah, I'm all for sharing some of the costs.
In our meeting with Shawnee, we asked their assistant city manager about if they ever work with Wyandotte County on anything, and they said yes, because down by County Line Road, it is Shawnee, Wyandotte County. They never know what is where, and so they had given us a name. I had tried to contact Wyandotte County manager, never heard anything back, and then I had tried to contact this guy through Public Works that Shawnee had referred, and they told Brady and I, oh, they're so easy to work with. Oh, yeah. They're so quick getting back to you.
Yeah, neither of us got a response.
Rickets. I have no clue.
And
I approached it from a way of like, hey, we are kind of confused if this is ours, if this is yours. We've done some preliminary legwork. If it's yours, I'm happy to share that. If it's ours, let me know.
Yeah.
Not even like, hey, let me look into it or...
I've been taking pictures of my white coat.
Yeah, did you ever hear anything?
I think I've done it 10 times. And I started doing anonymous. I put my name, the anonymous. I saw a guy on a bike. He almost fell over the edge. Nothing. Not a response of any kind. I was like, man, this is sad.
Yeah, so I'm kind of at a loss of what to do. I know Greg's got the report from Chad that he's going to go over. But we need to think about, you know, maybe just okaying the engineering and fingers crossed that, you know, hey, we're helping out. We're doing our part. You guys need to come and do this right.
What's the thought of putting it, the ball in Chad's court? Like, you need to meet with Wyandotte County and come up with a determination of whose jurisdiction it is. Phase one. $1,000, whatever. $1,000 is probably well spent for him to say, I bet it's not yours.
Okay.
Do you know who the attorney is for?
So I was just trying to pull up and see who's responsible for that area, because they've got a ton of attorneys.
I'm going to say it's all by ward.
Mm-hmm. They have a ward, and then they also have by department, by areas. It's part of the process. So I can try and track that down, but there probably is some advantage to that, because I would like to think that Olson has done work there, and they should have some contacts. But I can definitely try and track that information down and see if we can figure out who their attorney is that's responsible for that type of work.
You want to try that with Chad, Greg?
Yeah, I'll email Chad and ask him if he has any sort of contacts on it.
And say he is able to get in touch with somebody. We work something out, maybe we pay the $25,000 for engineering. We can have a special meeting to vote on that, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Yeah, I mean, and if we can get them to agree to something, try and get some kind of interlocal agreement into place, either for engineering or for the construction. If they won't agree to the engineering, if they'll agree to some of the construction work, we could do two separate interlocals if we need to. So that's something that could be in the special meeting as well.
Okay.
And those aren't that hard to pull together. I'm certain they have something they would want us to use if we did an interlocal.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Great.
So, Greg, go get with Chad, ask him about that, and let Michelle know. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because a lot of people are talking about this road. I mean, a lot of people. It's getting worse, so we need to get fast.
I mean, too, on the Quiberian, that wouldn't hurt to put that in the report. Like, just to acknowledge we know it's a problem. And
well, it's been in the narrative the last 2 months, I believe, just discussing.
So clearly got it breathing. I got the crossword puzzle done.
I think I did 2 months ago, not this month. Yeah.
Because I think that's what you were referring to, wasn't it, John?
What's that?
Did you get it in his mayor's letter?
Yeah, like that, yeah.
I think it was in my mayor's report 2 months ago, not this one that's coming out, but it's been in the narrative both times, so.
Yeah.
Okay.
As Aaron said, I've already seen that movie. I don't need to watch it again in the Quiberian.
Okay, fire truck, fire station space. We're still kind of holding off on that. I did have somebody approach about renting it out for a kids karate club. So we'll discuss that maybe down the road. I would like to say special thanks to Fred and Roy Owens and Shawnee Fire Department paramedics. There was an accident across the dam last night. A car flipped onto a dock site. Response time was phenomenal. Roy Owens was on site. I know Fred was not on duty, but he came in anyway. And Shawnee showed up in a timely manner, very professional. So thank you to everybody. And
to add to that, Officer almost stayed over.
And he stayed too.
So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yep.
Appreciate that. I think we might do something for City Shawnee. You know, deliver some goodies or something for him.
Okay.
So that's all I got. All right, City Council reports. Let's start with Gail.
Okay, so last time we talked about the trash area and that Dave and I were going to get together and design some signs. And so we got together and I'll just hold them up. So everybody knows what the trash area looks like. You know, there's the two big dumpsters that hold the lawn landscaping stuff. And then there's the other one that holds recyclables. And then there's the ripple glass. And we're not putting any signs on the ripple glass. That was not our suggestion. So on the recycling, and then separately, I met with Vital Signs, who does a lot of, they're very, very, very inexpensive, and they do a lot of signage, like my husband uses them all the time on, you know, big warehouses and stuff like that. And so they gave us a fairly inexpensive solution. But we were looking at on the recycle bin, you know, it's got, there's the big waste management circle in the middle, and there's two areas on either side of that. And so we were looking at an 18 by 18 sign. This is, I think I held this up before. This is just this is the proof or anything that just has those items. And I showed, we were talking with John about that, the acceptable items and the non-acceptable. And, I mean, you know, you can have a list, you know, 50 items on this thing, but then it's going to get really busy and nobody's going to pay attention. So that was going to go on one side. And the only thing I think I heard from John today is that he wants us to put clean food.
Yeah.
Okay. And then on the other side of that bin, we would have something that looks like this that says recycling only and, you know, Lake Wavera residents only, no contractors use, no dumping outside bin, and violators will be fined. And so that would be an 18 by 18. Both of these are very inexpensive, big stickers that will stick to that so they don't get damaged, the signage and stuff doesn't get damaged. And then on the yard waste, okay, today, you know, we have the steps that go up, and there's a nice sign. I mean, it's not a nice sign, but there's a sign up there that's in mediocre shape. And so at the top of that, on that post, there would be an 18 by 24 sign that would say yard waste only. So that, you know, that's what you see when you drive up. So that attracts your attention. And then there would be the acceptable items. And that again would be the sticker. And these would be 24 by 24. So you guys all have these. That would be the list of all the acceptable and non-acceptable items.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other side, again, would be kind of the warning. You know, this is yard waste only, you know, no contractors.
Right.
You'll pay a fine, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that better than the signs. Signs are going to get run over and destroyed and all that.
And the cost of those, the nice thing is, you know, the sticker, she said, you know, should last a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, this is going to be just a little bit over $100, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, for the whole
bill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a question for you on the yard waste acceptable, the untreated wood.
Yeah, that is in the... when you go into waste management, the main things that are acceptable, that was there.
That's pretty crazy. You can throw like lumber in there, but no nails or anything.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. I have seen decking with nails in there. So that's the only downside to that. Even if it is untreated wood, they might have nails and all that stuff. So.
But we can take that off if that opens the door.
My opinion would be to take it off.
Okay. It was kind of surprising.
Take it off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or it'll get used. Yeah.
And I didn't.
You swing set.
I didn't specifically here.
Oh, okay. Oh,
I did not.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. Well, they pick those up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how many people put their Christmas trees. I mean, they would. They would pick them up, but.
We pick them up. You ain't picked them up. Or
yeah.
We tell them to put them in that bin.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd leave it out too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I would just say add clean.
On the yard waste one, did you put no plastic bags?
Oh, yeah, not acceptable.
Yeah.
No plastic bags or pots, no trash, no recyclables.
Okay. On the leaves we throw in there, they can be in the paper bags, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Are you ready? Do you have, just going through the code real quick, do you have something on unlawful dumping related to this kind of stuff that you enforce?
It's not specific to that, and there are some difficult areas. For instance, like a contractor versus a regular person,
mm-hmm.
our ordinance isn't spelled out that it has to be a resident. So it could use to be polished to
tighten that up a little
bit.
I'd love to beef it up if you have ideas.
Yeah, I'm also thinking what it says will be fined.
Yeah.
Of course, prefer that we're prosecuted. But because we're not going to just send out.
As long as the stickers don't have anything, although they're put on by the city, but it doesn't say fined by.
Correct.
So
what
I looked at that is that also allows the HOA to take action.
So is that what you're. So we were thinking it would be through the HOA to handle the fines as opposed to through the city?
If it didn't meet the criteria for our ordinance.
Okay.
So.
You're okay with that, Michelle?
I am. We might want to look at tightening that up in case we do start to have a problem if we want to go ahead and prosecute it through court.
Right.
I think we should tighten it up anyway.
So that doesn't sound like it's urgent, but at the same time, it's something we can always
put
on top of that kind of stuff.
I know I've made some drafts a few years ago.
Okay.
I don't know if they're still in my email or not, or in Alice's email.
Okay.
But hey, we'll just go over it again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Start from scratch.
Give us some teeth.
Because it seems like we'd rather keep the fine money for the city.
Well, yeah.
I mean, so it's a $100 to $500 fine, you know.
Or 6,000 in front of your.
Well, maybe.
There are limitations.
Yeah, the ordinance currently says 100.
It's got a Tesla.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I think.
Okay, so you said it was how much?
It'll be just a little over $100.
Okay. And you're going to add the clean food and beverage cartons?
Okay. So that was that. Of course, we have.
Do we need to approve those funds?
Just
supply. And since we just possibly changed what we're doing with the recycling container,
uh-huh.
do we want to hold off on that until we get, if it's just going to be cardboard only with the slats, do we want to hold off on that?
Not for $100, you might.
All right,
yeah.
Stick it up.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, because I thought when we talked about that, we're talking about, let's see how the signs work for this, or were we saying...
Let's see how the signs
I guess I
work.
I thought we were going to make status quo.
Yeah.
And then, okay, and then maybe if this doesn't work out, we'll just move on to the cardboard only with that.
Yeah.
But then we're really taking stuff. We didn't want to take this convenience away from our people.
I would get the stickers, post them, and I would also get with John Blessing on the slats immediately,
mm-hmm.
Even though it's not just cardboard.
Mm-hmm.
And see how that works, and then if we have to go to just cardboard, we will.
Oh, I see the slats. Wait, okay.
I didn't.
Well,
the slats are
only skinny for cardboard. Did I miss
that? What he said.
That's what he said.
So
he
only knows. Used for cardboard.
Yeah,
that's what I
mean.
If we switch it to just a cardboard dumpster.
Well, I think you were saying leave the one down there, but have it not for cardboard. Have it for other stuff, or a smaller one, and then do the one for cardboard with the slats.
Yes.
He said
that's what I understood to be.
If then people might still be putting cans and things in there, which is no problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because finally, everything goes in the same place at Waste Management.
That's right. Yeah.
So I think And it could be. I've seen the containers down there. They have some that you can put cans into. I mean, the holes aren't real little.
Yeah.
They're, you know,
yeah.
This
yeah.
big. And it could be they have a container just right for both purposes. I don't know.
Okay, so where are we ending up tonight? Are we saying, okay, we want to get rid of that dumpster that we have and we want to replace it with another dumpster that only takes cardboard and maybe some cans?
I mean, it sounds like a conversion piece that goes on the existing one.
That's what it sounds like to me.
I mean, to me, for tonight, it's buy the signs, post the signs, and
yeah,
see
yeah,
what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, and then eventually move into this.
That would be our next slide.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I understood.
So yeah, maybe, so, or at least give them a call and tell them we're doing the signs. And yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to get the proof on the signs and order those, and those are going to go on those existing.
Do it.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yep.
Okay. All right, so then, of course, we've got Fred Ronde and...
Dale, can I ask a question where he's
yeah.
calling up the Ballard Waste Manager? Would you talk to him about picking up our bins around the lake like they used to?
Yes. Oh, for sure. You know, John, I forgot to do that, and I meant to ask him
Yeah, I didn't want to ask about
doing
that, but...
Yeah,
yeah
let me make another note.
What did you meet for a
second? I know, I thought so, too. I'm like, what'd you do?
And those are the bins that
so
are
stone
on the road.
Bins are all the way around lakes.
Not the bins that sit within the clubhouse property or anything.
No, it's just when you drive. They used to do it going around
yeah.
Lakeshore. They
don't do it anymore?
They haven't in months.
Hmm.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that.
Yeah, actually, 5 to 6 months.
There's
okay,
like
so trash bins on Lakeshore on
the
lake.
So I posted the, created and posted the Fred Ronde flyer that's going into the Quiberon. There's a pet immunization flyer, so that's August or April 18th. You know, it's the same plan as last year, and so at next month's meeting, you know, I can report on maybe who's doing what and
yeah.
you know, how we're going on that. And
yeah.
then Carol Neal of Garden Club is in charge of pet immunization, and so what John reminded me was they're going to add some photographer for pet photos, so that'll be there for pet immunization. There's going to be an Eagle Scout little booth that is let's see, what was he saying?
Max Kamel.
Yeah, but what is he doing?
Washing
dogs.
Washing, yeah, washing dogs. Oh, right.
Cool. We'd like to do it on the grass area over on the side.
And then I understand Heather, our new president of Garden Club, has checked in with the clubhouse, and I guess she's going to have them cooking hot dogs and up by the clubhouse so that people can come, you know, see how this works. I know, I didn't say anything. Drive by the clubhouse outside, you know, eat your hot dogs with your dogs, or put the dogs in the sack and take it with you. So, you know,
dogs with
Eat
dogs.
Eat your hot dogs with your dogs.
I like it.
Well, she, you know, if she wants to ask them. And then anybody that wants to go by the clubhouse and have that doesn't even have a dog can have a hot dog outside.
Yeah.
No, we're giving away.
Oh, no. They're for sale. Garden Club's not paying for. So that's that. We'll talk about signs. Oh, and then of course there's the bathrooms. And so after we had the meeting last time, and Aaron and Fred and Brady chatted, and we're doing the work ourselves, and so we're, you know, getting. Just doing as inexpensive as we can to look as nice as it can. And I'm going to make sure it looks nice.
It's already looking really nice. And there were several things in the bid from the contractor. Fred did some research and realized we didn't have to be ADA compliant on some things. And we didn't have to, you know.
Tear over the wall.
Tearing the wall, wire for the hand blow dryer, all sorts of stuff. So we're going from a $15,000 project to... I mean, it's going to be...
I think it'll be under five.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Well, there's your car.
Well, that was still coming
well,
out.
Well, no, because we did not even have the budget for 15. Remember that we were already piecing together.
Your car.
So that's why I had a panic the next morning. Gail was being very kind in the way she's describing it. It was me having a panic.
So. Aaron had a little trouble sleeping. So.
I have a really hard time spending whatever funds on our bathroom when all we were going for in the first place was actual working plumbing.
Yeah. And I think it's still going to look great and be a whole lot cheaper. So.
It is. Well, I've been in touch with Ron Bauer. He's still in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
For a while, but he's going to. It's just, you know, I'm not charging the city for the frames of mirrors, but you know, the frames and Ron's going to find some really good photos. He's going to send me maybe 40 or 50 online so that I can go through, you know, that relate to the city,
mm-hmm.
you know, things that we're responsible for and stuff. And so, they'll be in the bathrooms, they'll look. Everything.
That's a great idea.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's a really good idea. Maybe even include some pictures in the front entry or the hallway.
Yeah, and I am going to, I did say, I think the last time I looked at those pictures, Bend County must have hung those pictures in that wall. No person in the room.
They do not know what that is.
Do you know
how to hang pictures? Bend doesn't know how to hang pictures. Yeah. Well, thanks for doing that. It's looking great, and Fred, doing a good job. Okay. Looks good. Anything else, Gil?
No.
That's it?
That's it.
All right. Thank you. John?
I'm going to be easy. Michelle and I have been two ships passing in the night since our last meeting, and we got to get together on a couple items, but because we did not connect, much of which was... my personal email being quite backlogged. I've got nothing to report on.
Okay, fair enough.
I don't have too much. We are going to do performance reviews this week. I think we'll start Kathy on Wednesday, and then maybe Aaron, you can figure out another morning this week. And then Fred, we might move you to next week. So we'll hope to have these done in the next week and a half.
Yep.
And I don't know, I've had a couple meetings with the team and have some great ideas. I think Kathy got together with Lisa at Q-Inc, which I think is a good connection. So, anyway, that's all I had.
Yeah.
Just kind of working behind the scenes.
Keep doing it. Yeah, Kathy met with Lisa and they set up our city Facebook page and all sorts of stuff. It's good.
Still trying to figure out how to connect all that away from my personal account because it's somehow got tied into that, which is how it all started with Diane's account, but we're well on our way. We at least have a logo and an actual page, so it's exciting.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Annie. Greg?
We kind of already talked about my all-day drive. I know Chad got a bid, $25,700, just to do the engineering portion of it. It's going to take 4 months. You can start March 9th and anticipate completion be June 30th. So I have already hit on this a little bit. We're kind of going to contact Chad and see if he has anyone to find out and all, if you hear anything.
So 4 months just for the engineering?
I don't know how in depth it is, but I know the engineering guys, they like to take their time.
Are they doing borings? What happens to me do borings of the road?
Part of their engineering was gonna give us a little more details on it, and I believe that includes the bidding process also. They're gonna bid it out.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Greg. Dave?
Update on the waste management odor complaints. I did actually go out there today, met Mike Hay, got a little tour around the facility to look at the current cell and get an idea of the perspective of that mountain of garbage that's right there, and they are starting to close off the farthest east section of it already. And then, so they're still on pace. That's going to close by the end of this calendar year, and that is our main nemesis as far as the odors go. And they took me around, the place is just massive. They took me around where there's a current rock quarry where the new cell is going to go, and it's very far to the west, and it's very deep. And he said it would be, once they start filling it up, which should be this summer, there's already a liner in that. They're filling up one section of it with limestone. That will take at least 20 months, 2 years to get to the surface of the ground. So at least for that amount of time, the odor should stay underneath. And then when it does come up, he was explaining with the wind currents, it shouldn't, you know, it's much further west, and it's going to go more across the river to that industrial area out there. So it's looking good. What they're telling us seems to check out. I'm suspicious of them, so I'm always questioning it. And then Mike and I had a good rapport going, and we're going to communicate. We're going to have good two-way communication. So he's going to let me know when they're boring for gas, mm-hmm. gas wells, which are one of the three sources of odor that we get here. So we can be ahead of the game on that, knowing when those are coming. And I was going to let him know. He asked if we could let them know when we're having events out here so that those two things wouldn't cross like we had with that tennis event last year. Mm-hmm. It was horrid. And I think we had a women's golf member guest, I think, 1 year that the odor was bad. So as long as we keep those lines of communication open, I think we can avoid, you know, those, you know, them having an odor producing project going on at the same time we have something here.
Mark down June 20th, which is
every
5 years when we let the public come in to our home tour, and that would be in, you know, to June around the rainy season, and we cannot.
Yeah. So,
Dave, while you were meeting with him today, there was all over Women FLQ on the Facebook page. People were just posting the number over and over again.
Okay.
There was a lot of places today that had the smell, apparently. And there were a couple of people who were starting to complain on that.
Okay.
Saying that they didn't feel like when they called in that mm-hmm. any action was ever taken, or that it wasn't a good reporting method.
Joni's on that, so I can ask her to send me some screenshots. And maybe
I was going to say, I don't mind sending you some, or if you want her to, that's fine too. But just so you know, there was a little bit of rumblings today about people around the lake in different places who smelled it, who were reporting. But then, like I said, there were also some side comments about worrying about if that actually is getting to someone and what they do about that.
Maybe there's an education we could do on that.
Yes, I think it would be
about
great.
What the process is. And
I put it in my mayor's article. Remember, I told you that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're going to start filling up the cell further west over the summer. That's when they start filling it?
Yes. But while the other one's still active.
And you had this idea that maybe they could fill ours with non-odor producing waste?
He said sometimes they'll get contracts to remove some contaminated soil.
Yeah.
Something like that. You know, he said they have a project with Honeywell to clean up a site or something like that. And they would use that as the top layer before they cap it. So because he has trouble, except from his perspective, you know, they have a lot of regulatory agencies to keep an eye on, and they struggle with plastic bags. And if they're filling up on the high peak and it's a windy day, that garbage ends up down by 435 and over on holiday. So he has to send people out to pick it up. So he doesn't want that type of garbage going up there anyway. So once the hole is ready, they can start sending most of that waste down there. The odor will sit. That's in theory.
Right.
And then if they get a big order of solid soil type material, they'll put it up on top.
Okay.
So that's how he's trying to count. That's kind of his glide path to shut that one down. So I'm going to stay in contact with him, keep on top of this, because it always bothers me, and I'm never sure if I'm the only one who, I know I have a big nose, but I'm not sure if I'm the only one who is bothered by this, but I want to make sure that we're, you know, it's bad for the community to have that. So I'm going to stay on top of that.
Appreciate
one thing
it.
He did mention is that when we were talking about our recycling and compost area, that, you know, the idea of just driving down the street to use their public one, that's going away. They've had the same issue we have. People are abusing their public drop-off.
Just leaving stuff.
He said it's mostly businesses. They don't want to pay
$50
to go dump it in the dump, so they just pull over there and dump it in their free drop-off. So he said that's kaput. So
glad we didn't pull this.
Exactly. That was good information. So I think that's all I had on the waste management odor side. On the gas station, I think we should bring the management of that in-house. I know last month we were down, as a city, we lost $986 providing the gas station just on
what we pay double check for maintenance and things like that. And I've spoken with the fuel supplier, fuel hauler, Star Transport, and he's going to start including me on the daily price report of what we would pay as a distributor of gasoline, what we would pay per gallon, and then balance that against what, you know, is on the board from Quick Trip, which right. I know Terry tries to match. And then there's DoubleCheck can do a lot of the education on the computer system that we have in the back that is a Gilbarco
right.
Point of sale system. One thing I haven't figured out yet is how we get the money when somebody charges their credit card and they buy fuel, how that goes into the correct account for the city. So
the bank.
Yeah, there are generic card processors.
Easy.
Okay. Awesome. And then we're already paying for all the inspections. I mean, we're already paying for everything except
literally everything.
Yeah.
For the fuel.
So we have all the liability, we have all the expense, we're just not getting any of the benefit.
Yeah.
So I think it should minimum break even, but this should turn into a revenue source.
Absolutely.
I don't know what the legal ramifications of deciding to run a gas station are, but I can for sure.
We've got a lease with a guy.
60 or 90 day out.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just going to look at whatever documents we have on that and just figure out what we need to do as far as notice. Just thinking of probably already have all the permits and things already taken care of those.
So then would there be a
person
like Rivera that
he fills out
the box
of
paper
or
whatever?
You know, because
yeah.
A lot of people complain about that. So when they contact him, don't they?
Yeah, that would. I mean, I've spoken with
I don't Kathy know how much work he actually does. I know when people have complained, Kathy or I or Fred have directed them to Terry, but I don't know how much he actually.
Does he like do the trash cans and put the paper in?
No. He doesn't do anything.
He coordinates the delivery.
We do all of that.
Yeah. It just seems like a real bad setup. But there is going to have to be some education. So with a 60 or 90 day out, there'll be time to hopefully learn how to do it. I think this is my recommendation, but there's still a lot of dots to connect.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Yeah.
I just need to look at the paperwork we have and if there's any kind of permitting or anything. I need to understand what he does, I guess.
I think he makes a phone call to Star.
He orders the fuel.
We need fuel. We get about three deliveries of 8,000 gallons every month, roughly.
Sends in a red check.
24,000 gallons a month.
Yeah.
It's my understanding. I'm oversimplifying it, I'm sure, to some degree, but I don't think he does much.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it is going to be more work
right.
for the office staff.
Yeah, we did
so
talk about that. We did talk about
so
that.
So I'd like to get a handle on what that is.
If I'm involved in it, I think if we're still exploring this, it might be worth just having a training session with DoubleCheck.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can have a better understanding of what is involved that we may not be seeing that Terry does.
And they did say that would be about from 2 to 4 hours is a training session for how the system works.
Okay.
So if it makes sense, I could try to coordinate that to try to get that set up.
Do you have an idea what the markup is on gas?
It's about 15 cents a gallon, roughly.
Yeah, I thought it'd be a lot lower than that. I was shocked.
Yeah. So. That's ballpark. I mean, we could, yeah. So it'd be, you know, it'd be a possible.
You had a number at one point.
Yeah, it'd be 30, it'd be like 45 grand a year or something like
yeah.
that. I mean, that'd be a nice.
Get your Corvette.
Yeah. But it just seems like one of those things that it seems to make a lot of sense that this is what we should do.
Yeah.
It's just a question of making it happen.
I like it. I'd say keep going.
Okay.
Keep going with it.
Awesome.
Yeah, appreciate you looking into that.
Oh, sure. It's been fun. I enjoy it.
So that'll cut out because we always have to wait for Terry, right?
Mm-hmm.
To,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
long weekends or
yeah.
holidays or whatever. And,
yeah.
And so that, all of that, you know, where the gas station is closed will basically go away.
Yeah, and talking with Star Transport, they said that they would have a hook into our system where they can tell when the tanks are getting low because the only delivery they'll make is a full delivery. They'll deliver 8,000 gallons. And so they need to, you know, just this weekend, a couple of guys I was playing golf with, they said, yeah, I like to use it, but half the time I go there, it's empty.
Hmm.
You know, there's no gas. And so
Anything we can do to automate it, make it more dependable, reliable. And then I think once we have that, when the budget process comes up, we can look at rehabbing it.
Yes.
Because it needs some love. But yeah, the more I've researched that, the more expensive it is. It's not just putting a cap on it. There's structure underneath that needs to be replaced. And so it's, hopefully we'll be able to pay for that with the revenue we get and have a little bit left over.
Yeah.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah.
You might check and see if they have compartmentalized trucks.
Okay.
Because when I used to order fuel, I just had gas and then diesel, red dye. But I could order like 5,000 gallons of diesel and 3,000 gas. They just want to run a full of
When I call them, that's the case. It has to be 8,000 combined.
Total.
Yeah, minimum. So you can have,
Okay.
5,000 regular, 3,000 premium.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, because we would still keep the two grades. Yeah.
It's not as complicated as you think.
Good.
Really?
Sweet. Yeah. We have an expert.
Yeah. I would like the new LQ City logo to be on the tank.
Sure.
I think
that would look really, really cool.
We can do that anytime.
Yeah. So, yeah, we own them.
Yeah. It's ours.
All right. Thanks, Dave. That's it?
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on to old business. We've kind of already talked about that, the proposal from Olson Engineering. So, Greg, you're going to run with that. On to new business. We moved up John Blessing. Consider approval of an ordinance providing for salaries and compensation of various officers and employees of City of Lake Quivira, Kansas. I think we're going to hold off on that for the time being. We might get to it tonight. And then I think we're going to have an executive session.
So, I'll make a motion to enter executive session pursuant to personnel in the Kansas Open Meetings Act. Protect the privacy interests of non-elected personnel and to include the city attorney and treasurer.
Okay. Got a motion? I have a second.
Second.
I have a second. Any discussion?
Do we have time frames?
Thank you.
For 10, 15?
We always go
over. Great. Yeah.
12 minutes.
What?
12 minutes.
Second your addendum.
15. All right, you're 15 minutes. We have a motion. We have a second for 15 minutes. Any discussion? Those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Motion carries. Move into executive session. What is it, 15 minutes? I keep it on the 15 on my phone.
You never know what
you're doing. You gotta listen.
You never know what
you're
doing.
Good.
Did you get a generator as
employee?
So,
Yeah.
All right. I'd like to make a motion to adjourn the executive.
No.
We're coming back into regular session.
We are coming back into regular session at 9:12 p.m. Regarding the 2020 pay ordinance. We are going to table that discussion to the next regular city council meeting or any special meeting called prior to the next city council meeting. Understood?
Go ahead and do a motion to that effect. Just if someone would so move that.
So moved.
So moved.
Let me table to them.
Second.
We've got a second. Any discussion? Okay. Those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Second.
No opposed? Okay, motion carries. All right, that's it. I think where's my agenda now? There it is. That's it.
Motion to
meeting.
Adjourn.
Oh, motion to adjourn.
Sorry.
Got a second. Any discussion? Those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries, meeting adjourned.
Okay. Someone has to report.
say.
How did you see the financials design? Are they?